Alrighty, we're all loaded up on my end.
Mike's hot.
Wait, are you cueing the music or me?
You.
Okay.
Alright, ready?
We want to talk boxing. Real boxing. And I ain't going nowhere. And all you motherfuckers out there watching this, know who you see every fucking day.
My consistency is unmatched. You ain't been here 12 years in this shit, and I'm gonna be here tomorrow. I don't need no fucking deal. I don't need no fucking deal. I don't need no fucking deal. Niggas is gonna come listen to me because they gonna come listen to me.
Next time.
Don't leave. Two birds, motherfucker.
And all you motherfuckers out there watching this know who you see as you fucking.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? I had the fucking YouTube video playing in the background. We had a couple of technical difficulties. It is what it is. We're getting to know each other here, and obviously, you know, TBV has a very unique setup. So hopefully you guys can hear me. I see you in the live chat saying that you do not hear me. But good morning to everybody that's up early with us. It is 6 a.m. or 6:18 here on the West Coast, you know, Las Vegas. And I'm joined alongside Ringwalk Danny yet again. Daniel, buenos dias.
Good morning, champ. We back with another one.
Oh, man, every day.
We're back with another show in studio.
Yes.
Right?
Living the dream.
Definitely living the dream. It's fight day. It's fight day here in Las Vegas, down the street, Mandalay Bay.
Is it? Who's fighting?
We got Keith, one time. Thurman. Obviously.
Yo, did you see how he was pounding his chest?
Yo.
Is he hyped or is he trying to hype himself up?
I think he's hyped right back. First fight in 931 days.
Damn. Don't we got to add? Is it 32 now?
No. From his last fight to today, it's 931.
Oh, so they're just, you know. They just went with the end number.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I thought every day we had to add one.
we're not adding another day. No, champ. So, obviously, he got his comeback.
Mm-hmm.
First fight, he's going up against Mario Barrios.
Mm-hmm.
Barrios' first fight at 147.
Mm-hmm.
His first fight since his tank knockout. All right. So,
Wait. That sounded almost like if it's a casual listener, oh, wow, he knocked out Tank. No. His
since
first
being knocked out by Tank.
By Tank.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting. That's right down the road here in Las Vegas. Leo's comeback since being knocked out by Tank as well. Obviously, across the pond, we have Chris Eubank Jr., Liam Williams. We have Clarissa Shields, you know, defending her unified titles. So it'll be, you know, obviously
good weekend,
good day.
I'm
of
not
fight.
Paying for that fight TV shit. We don't even have time. I'm pretty sure, like, when we're done with this, the zone will just be starting. Then
no,
we gotta go change because
the zone is tonight. We also have the zone, but that's tonight. That'll be on at the same time as Thurman.
Exactly at the same time. You sure? Because that's a UK card, ain't
no,
it?
No, it's in Arizona.
Oh, that's right. The Cuadras, Bam Rodriguez.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. Garcia hit me up. I was trying to get him in studio. He's in Phoenix. I forgot. I'm like, actually, you reminded me. I'm like, the hell is Robert Garcia doing in Phoenix? And then you was like, yo, he's training Bam for the fight. I didn't even know that fight was like, I knew he stepped in. I didn't know it was this weekend.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He was
he's
already
stepping up. Stepping up on short notice. And he's jumping up to weight class.
He was already on the card. He was already on the card. So.
Yeah. But so was Korobov and Charlo. That doesn't matter. Like, you're training 8 weeks for a certain style.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So he's jumping up two weight classes, jumping up to fight for a title, his first title opportunity. So definitely a lot of boxing going on today. A lot to talk about. And it's funny because we are talking, well, we're going to start the show talking about something totally different that has
absolutely. But I mean, something that deserves the time, though. Like, this has been going on, and I think that there's just been, for me anyway, right? Because the way that I choose topics, if I can find something that is official rather than rumored to be, or, you know, just like what we got here, which is back and forth, John. Like, we don't really have any announcement to give the public on George Kambosos, who holds the belts that he snatched from Tio, and Devin, who holds the last piece of the puzzle. There's really nothing to report other than that they're still bickering back and forth about Dinetto. And it's very sad because you question how powerful is Canelo that he can, you know, just decide, you know what, I'm going to, oh, you're all on camera just wiping the coffee. He just massaged the coffee into his jacket. Yo, and why did he think no one was watching?
I should have looked at the screen first time.
Yo, that's twice, though. Yesterday you did it, too, but you got lucky. No, they didn't have you on camera.
It's all good, man. It's early. It's, you know, 6.
I was going to ask. It's funny. I was going to ask you that. Like, and then I just said, you know what? I don't need to ask you how has it been waking up this early, because obviously you're a military man or Air Force guy.
Fuck all that, bro. Look, I'm used to being up overnight. Like, I'd rather work overnight than have to get up early in the morning to work. That's just how I am.
Yeah.
You know, but I also have a... I have
yeah, but you have that third shift for a while, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was in the military 7 years. I probably worked overnights.
And to be clear, for those out there that don't know, this is the face of a hustler. He picked third shift strategically. He's not from Las Vegas, originally from Chicago, moved to Vegas with the Air Force, strategically picked the third shift so that he could work all night, get a little bit of sleep, still be able to go to press conferences and weigh-ins and things during the day, finish that, and turn around and go back to work at night. So the face of a hustler, you know, even though he's wiping coffee on his chest, he's still a fucking hustler. You know?
Nah, absolutely. Nah, that's exactly
bro, what bro, that's some fucking, you know, late nights and early mornings. That's definitely some dedication. But it all came full circle.
You know, it's funny. I remember you telling me one day, you said, when they working,
no.
When
they
sleeping,
I'm working.
And when they working, I'm working harder.
That's right.
So, you know, sacrifices. You know, my dad always told me you could rest when you dead. So
I say that shit too, man. I sleep when I'm dead.
You know? So, man, but.
Back to Kambosos and Haney.
You know, obviously a lot going on there.
Should we start with the actual tweet itself? And
let's start with the tweet. For those who don't know, who didn't see it, George Kambosos.
It was Lou DiBella, but
no, it was George. Lou responded to George.
No. See, you got it wrong. But right, wrong but right, my friend. Wrong but right. So it was George, but George was responding to Andre Dakota, of all people, one of our pound for pound supporters. So can I get a screen share here? So Andre started this, bro. Shout out to Andre. You are the truth, right? So this is the tweet in question.
No, but there was one before that.
I know.
Okay.
This is the tweet in question with Lou DiBella responding to our pound for pound listener. I mean, he's been listening for over 7 years. Now, there is George Kambosos. Here is Andre himself. And this is the original tweet from George. So Andre read George's tweet that was published 14 hours ago, which obviously read, "When I said we can talk, I meant it. I didn't expect Haney for you to manipulate and play games. Eddie Hearn, what's wrong with your boy?" With an exclamation point. I didn't really like that. I don't like when men call other men boys. And I'm going to just, you know, elephant in the room. It's not very nice, you know, because of the historical racism for a white man to call a black man boy. Like,
yeah.
It triggers a black man.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But continuing on. He says, yes or no, DAZN Boxing got no faith in him? Hey, Vasyl Lomachenko Tell Bob Arum to make a serious offer to Lou DiBella. I'm waiting. So then our very intelligent listener, obviously knowledgeable, knowing the sport, he comes back. He's just a fan. He tells one of the fighters he watches on social media. This is the beauty of social media, because they bring you closer to the person that you allegedly hate, love. You know, you're a fanatic. You can actually touch them virtually. So Andre did that. And he says to George, this man has no TV deal. So he is baiting both DAZN and ESPN to give him more money. Let him lose his own bout without Haney.
Host
his own bout without Haney or Loma. No TV relationship equals no power, just mandatories. So George comes back and says, I got plenty of TV broadcasting options, mate, but how bad do these guys want their TV broadcasting partners to have their geographical location is the real question. So what that translated to me is, look, we got TV money, they got TV money, but their TV money comes with DAZN picking the location of the fight, you know. I don't know how it's an issue when you and I both know, Eddie's already been on social media, that there is the possibility of launching in 2022 DAZN Australia. So why wouldn't DAZN want it in Australia?
You know, when I spoke to Eddie the first week of December for Haney's last fight, the fight with Jojo Diaz, when I spoke to him, I specifically asked Eddie, what are your goals for 2022?
Mm-hmm.
Eddie told me DAZN Australia was amongst them, and he went as far as saying he already had numerous fighters he was eyeing from the Australia region, you know, things to already launch, you know, DAZN Australia. So to me, it just makes the perfect sense. You know, when I read George's response to, you know, our listener, Andre, I thought to myself, what American TV options could that be? You get what I'm saying? Because obviously Top Rank is tied up with ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Matchroom is tied up with
DAZN.
PBC with Fox and Showtime. So what other options in America? The only thing I could think of is that Lou
spoke to Showtime.
No, I'm thinking ESPN. Because
That's obvious.
You know?
That's obvious because of the Lomachenko bait. And that's what I've been saying to anyone that would listen. Like, smart money is picking Lou to convince, let's not forget Peter Kahn, the manager, and convince Kambosos not to undispute and instead fight Lomachenko, convince them somehow that that's a bigger fight. But in reality, it's Lou strengthening his relationship with Top Rank. I mean, just look at it. Where has Lou's fighters been getting television time? With Top Rank. So, you know, one hand washes the other. That's the simplest metaphor I can give. Bob Arum would get frustrated. I don't know, would it sever the business relationship? But again, I mean, I'm from the street. I like to keep it there. You getting money with me. Now all of a sudden you on, right? You on now, but you was getting money with me, but now you get this big Kambosos money and you're on, and now you don't need me? Now you about to go fuck with them dudes across the street now? I got an issue with it.
Right.
So, you know, you got to be careful if you're Lou, what you do in this situation, because you don't want to ruffle the feathers. He just got Stephen Big Shot Shaw on ESPN at the Tulsa show. That's another one of his heavyweights.
You know, go back to December, obviously Kome in that Lomachenko fight.
And think about the leverage there. Devin is offering Richard Kome
a title shot.
Exactly.
A title shot.
Enough said, but I'm going to keep saying it only because there's casual listeners out there that need to be educated. You know, Lou somehow convinced the grown man that it was better to fight on ESPN for a non-title fight with a dude with no belt coming off a loss. Instead of
no, coming off of a win.
Who did Loma beat? His win over Kome was the first win.
No.
Who he fought after Tio?
Nakatani.
Oh, that's right. And he did a good number on Nakatani.
Yeah, you know, styles make fights, though.
But the point is, somehow they convinced him to fight a dude without a belt instead of going to get that last piece of the puzzle. You know? Comey could have tried to beat Devin and been in the situation that Devin is in now, where he's at least negotiating whether it's successful negotiations or not. He's at least doing that for Undisputed. So I don't understand, man. I definitely feel that Lou is going to be trying to do what's best for him and his fighters, not just Cambosos. Every promoter does this. They get a big-name fighter, and they leverage him. I'm not saying that Cambosos is a big name, but he's in a big-time situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, he has 3 of the 4 major titles at lightweight, and – you know, he does have leverage to some extent because of it.
Exactly.
However, you know, the consensus is you can't be Undisputed when there's dispute. And to me, that's the fight that makes sense, the most sense next. But obviously, like you said.
But when does boxing do what makes sense or do what's right? Like. That's why I actually love this sport, because it's always twisting and turning. It doesn't just go straight.
You know, so let's read Lou's response to.
Yeah. Let me get a screen share, George. So this is Lou DiBella's response. You want to take it away? You want to be Lou?
I'll take it away. Not worth talking business with clowns, champ. There are numerous international powerhouse media companies wanting to televise, stream, pay-per-view your fights right now. Australia is a major market. Funny how none of them want to pay for Haney or meet his demands.
I didn't understand that, bro. What does that even mean?
I didn't understand the last part.
Yeah.
Funny how none of them want to pay for Haney or meet his demands. You know.
So what does he mean? None of these powerhouse media companies that want to televise the fight want to pay for Haney or meet his demands?
Well, you know, which is interesting because, you know, like we've been saying, Haney has made good money since teaming up
with Eddie
in that co-promotional deal. Obviously, DAZN is a part of that. So I don't really understand, you know, because Haney's making more money than Cambosos. So I didn't really understand what he meant by that. Obviously, we're not part of the negotiation. We're not seeing what demands or what.
But what demands can you have when you're the one getting one of the shots from a two-part, you know, vaccine? You're the one verbally saying in every interview that you're going to Australia to fight this guy. How is it that Haney and his team are the problem? How is it that the company that just bid $32 million in a purse bid for a fight that didn't belong to them is giving Cambosos financial issues? Like,
The same company. That mm-hmm. bid on your fighter at hand right now in George Cambosos.
Yes.
That bid.
That was the backup bid to save the deal.
And they had no stake in that. Like, mm-hmm. the Matchroom had nothing to do
nothing,
with that fight.
Nothing. And obviously for the casuals, he's talking about when Matchroom bid for Tio versus Cambosos.
You know, they were the runner-up.
Runner-up.
But that was the bid that, you know, they were the ones that actually presented the money and ended up having the event.
Yeah,
take
Triller
place.
Forfeited. So they lost their money on the deposit and they didn't want to, you know, continue to put the back end. So they, you know, it's a penalty.
You know, so obviously Eddie and Matchroom bidding on that fight had a lot to do with, hey, we have a lightweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
Let's.
And they did a lot of programming behind that. Not only did they bid on that fight, but they spent money to bring Tio and his father, have him on the telecast, have he and Haney meet on the telecast. He and Haney, you know, have a back and forth on the broadcast. So, you know, again, I don't believe this. I think this is all leverage. This is leveraging. This is Lou Cambosos. They're playing hardball. They're trying to see who's going to present the best offer. When he does say international powerhouses, automatically I started to think MTK, Pro Bellum, because more and more we're seeing fighters fighting on Pro Bellum. I mean, someone just got, with a decent name, someone just got a main event on Pro Bellum. I'm like,
I know Rigondeaux has an upcoming fight.
Look at that.
in Dubai.
Look at that.
In Dubai, of all places, but.
So there you go, you know, and there's more. I'm telling you, I just seen someone is fighting in Dubai, and I'm like, oh, wow, look at this guy, you know, and it's Pro Bellum. So I don't know any other international powerhouse, you know, especially in the game. I'm going with Pro Bellum and MTK.
Look, I didn't even know this. I always butcher his first name.
Oshaki Foster, who is he fighting?
He's fighting some dude. Muhammad Kuja Yakabuf.
Oh, man.
In a WBC world title.
In Dubai.
In Dubai.
Dude, and he's got the silver. Let me tell you his poor story. This is crazy because he's got to win this fight now.
Look, and they're bringing back John O'Carroll.
That's the one.
John O'Carroll's coming back.
And that picture looks horrible. Let me tell you, he looks so old in that picture.
This is his second Pro Bellum fight, right?
I don't know,
I want to say he was on a show in December.
They did a bad job on that picture. What feed are you on? That's your own feed or a specific?
This is Pro Bellum's Twitter page.
Oh, okay.
Look, again, March 25th, Lewis Ritson. Dejan Zlatikanen, who is...
Yo, Zlatikanen is back?
Yeah.
Crazy.
The last time I've seen him was when Mikey Garcia baptized him.
Tell me about it.
That was Mikey Garcia's comeback.
Let me get a screen share there, George, so I can just show... Look at this poor picture.
No,
first of all, this is Oshaki Foster. And it's crazy, right? If you Google it, I'm sure you'll see that WBC just made him something. He always had the silver for like the last 3 years, but he just got some sort of elevation. You know, maybe he's the next mandatory or something for that 130-pound Valdez belt. But as soon as that happens, this unknown dude is about to fight him. I hope he don't lose his opportunity now by dropping the ball in this fight. But I want to show the public this particular picture. They need to do a better job with their graphic designer. Jonah Carr looks tired here, man. He looks a little old in here. Look at this.
He was training out here in Vegas for...
He trains a lot. I mean, remember he did the whole training camp with Tevin, too?
And he was in...
Haney's camp.
Haney
used him for JoJo Diaz. But, yeah, man, this whole, you know, Lou DiBella and... just the Haney Camboso situation is a little depressing, you know. It didn't take this long for Crawford to undispute when Ndongo beat Tronowski and Ricky Burns. He was ready to undispute. Same thing with Canelo when he took Billy Joe's belt. He and Plant immediately got to work and hammered out a deal. Look, Tyson and Usyk came to a deal. We're so close to undisputed that AJ was contemplating
taking that
step aside money. And obviously, he wanted $5 million more. He wanted 25.5, and that's why it didn't happen. According to Tyson Fury, says, you know, AJ and Eddie blew $90 million. They're clowns, yada, yada, yada. But the point is, people are usually desperately trying to undispute. You know, this 135-pound division has been plagued with devaluing true undisputed. You know, and it's all the WBC's fault, even before franchise. It was their fault for allowing Vasyl Lomachenko to fight for a vacant title versus Luke Campbell when never being in the rankings. The favoritism that the sanctioning bodies show, and don't get me wrong, like, it is logical, you know, Vasyl with all his accomplishments and everything that he did in the amateurs, everything that he did as a pro up until that point, if you petition to the WBC and say, hey, look at me, look what I've done, can you not rank me? I want to fight for your belt. I can see the WBC, you know, being able to rank a champion, even though they don't normally rank a champion, but he is requesting it. And he's a big name fighter. Again, WBC is a business, even though they're nonprofit, they're a business.
Absolutely.
They need to put their Jordan on their sneaker. And their Jordan is a WBC belt. So, you know what I mean?
So let me ask you a question just because I'm...
And by Jordan, I mean Michael Jordan.
Absolutely. That's the only Jordan there is.
Oh. There's Jordan Baker. Shout out to Jordan Baker, Florida, pound for pound supporter, TBV.
Let me ask you this, though, because I'm seeing a lot of comments relating to this in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Devin Cambosos,
mm-hmm.
who do you think is more deserving of...
Deserving? Oh, boy.
I'm saying who do you
How's he going to use this word?
Who do you think is more deserving of the bigger payday? Or do you think it should be like a 50-50? Or do you think like...
Of the split, you mean? The actual split of their
right.
purse? I mean, Cambosos. He deserves it. I don't know that he'll get it because Devin already has such a high mandatory minimum. But I'm sure Devin is going to be willing to take less money too, though. If Dev gets those belts, it's a wrap. First of all, he'll be in, like Mickey Bay said a couple of days ago, he'll be in the history books automatically. Not even Floyd undisputed at that age. They won't be able to take that from him.
Absolutely.
And T.O.'s accomplishments eventually will be forgotten because he didn't true undispute. The history books won't remember that. They're not going to say, oh, almost undisputed.
You know,
they're not going to give a fucking explanation about franchises and what Vasil did or did not do.
Absolutely. And, you know, for the people that argue, like, go on the WBC's website and you tell me who's listed as the champion.
Exactly.
Because it is indeed Devin Haney, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't get it, but that's why this fight needs to happen.
He must be a difficult fight, though. He must be, like, how is it that fighter after fighter after fighter, I mean, just think about it, right? Ryan doesn't want to fight him, didn't want to fight him.
Well, let's start Vasil. Vasil and his team, you were there in
Vasil accepted.
Cancun, right? Cancun?
Yes, Mexico.
Cancun, Mexico, WBC convention. It was Carl Moretti, right? It was
Carl Moretti
that you did the interview
Vasil,
with.
Even Usyk was there.
Glimas?
Yes, he was.
And they petitioned.
For the franchise.
For the franchise. So, come on, like, don't say you wanted the fight.
No.
But talk
they
your
never,
way out of the fight.
They never said they wanted the fight. First of all, Moretti's on record on my interview calling Devin Haney a good little fighter. Vasil's on record in numerous interviews saying that Haney needs experience. And maybe he did. Watching the Linares fight, he needed to go through that. He needed to see, listen, don't get lackadaisical. Just because you beating somebody's ass, don't start coasting. And he did. He got caught. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to get caught with Loma. Maybe Loma could have capitalized what an older, you know, more removed Linares couldn't do. So everything happens for a reason. Haney got the names and the experience that he needed. I always thought he would be able to beat Vasil the same way I picked Tio to beat Vasil. It's funny because now my opinion has changed. I thought any natural 135-pounder with some decent skill would beat Vasil. And then, you know, he beat the shit out of Nakatani and Kome. Not that I thought that those guys were skilled, but if we thought weight and height were one of the factors why he would lose, they sure didn't take advantage of those, you know, of that.
You know, obviously styles do make fights, and, mm-hmm. you know, although Nakatani is a really good lightweight, same as Kome, they're not to the level when we speak of the Devin Haneys and the Vasils, you know, of the world. So styles make fights. That's why they get in there. You know, before Cambosos, Nakatani gave Teofimo Lopez his most challenging task,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they got to step in there. But, you know, I'm on the WBC website. It has a nice picture of Devin Haney, and it says lightweight champion next to his name. And there's a lot of dispute. And to me, Teofimo Lopez was not undisputed. To me, George Cambosos isn't undisputed. I was fortunate to be at that fight between Lopez and Cambosos in New York Thanksgiving mm-hmm. weekend. Beautiful atmosphere. And let me tell you, it was absolutely, without a doubt, a pro-Lopez crowd. But Cambosos won that crowd over. And I feel like Cambosos has won over a lot of the American fans that may have not been you know, in tune to who he is, we need that fight next. Why are we bullshitting? Why are we bullshitting?
Because
let's make that fight happen.
This is the excuse you'll hear from Lou DiBella and even Peter Kahn, and I mean no disrespect, but Bosos, for a former champ on their soil. Last three of his four fights have been on the former champion or the champion's backyard. He's earned his shot at defending those titles at home. That is their response to you. This is why Kambosos is in some sort of tough negotiations, because he deserves everything that's coming to him because he did the heavy lifting. That's what that is what they're going
to
run
with. I hear you. You know, to me also though, it's like, okay, where are you going to get more eyes on it? You know, he talks about a stadium fight in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. You know, a couple years ago, I don't know if you remember, there was another stadium fight in Australia and the clear victor was robbed. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. Where can more money be generated? You know, site fees, it's just a lot. So to me, it has to make sense. And the only way for a fight for George Kambosos to make sense has to be Devin Haney next, because we need one champion in the lightweight division.
One face, one name, and his name is George Kambosos or Devin Haney? No, what is it? One face, one name, one champion, and his name is the winner of George Kambosos and Devin Haney.
We need it next, man. We definitely need it next. Like I said, they need to stop bullshitting. You mentioned earlier in the show, Canelo, Caleb Plant. After Canelo won the third title.
Mm-hmm. No, boxing fans are going to say, but it's Canelo.
No, hear me, though. What I was getting at is, remember, they were trying to make it for Mexican Independence Weekend in September. They couldn't make it happen quick enough. Happened a couple months later, but it was still only 5 months after Canelo fought Billy Joe that fight happened.
No, because he had a goal. That's what I'm telling you. He had a goal. Kambosos' goal wasn't to be undisputed. Kambosos' goal was to beat Teo. And now that he's done that, the goals have shifted to generational wealth, securing your family's life. I mean, I'm sure he didn't. His public record, what he got paid for the TO fight. So it's not like he's rich, you know, unless you consider $1 million rich. And I don't even know that he was able to take home a full million after his cut into Lou, his cut into Peter, taxes, you know.
I'm
sure he got to pay international taxes,
no,
too, right?
Absolutely.
And puertos.
And let's also remember, Lord, you know, he had like a freaking 8-9 month training camp. Those expenses add up, you know, those training camp,
yeah, man,
you know, all that adds
but I think
up.
At that level, you know, he you know, at that level he had never gotten the big payday fight, you know. Maybe you know, someone was fronting them, you know,
possibly.
Maybe the team, the immediate team, you know, maybe even Lou, maybe Peter Kahn, maybe the trainer,
all seen the
potential.
Regardless, you know, how long was he out the ring? You know, because of the TO fight, it was delay after delay after delay. So that was one, you know, he had one fight in the time period that maybe he would have had at least another, if not two more fights in that time period. You get what I'm saying? That fight just needs to happen next. We do have a super chat from Mr. Steal Your Chain. How much do you think?
Oh, it was Chin.
Oh. It is Mr. Steal Your Chain. How much do you think this fight is worth, Ness?
Oh, man, I can't put a price on it because, bro, I didn't think that they would pay Crawford $6 million to fight Porter.
I didn't think that. I mean, look how much even Triller, granted they didn't show with the money, but how much they bid.
Yeah, no, but we got to talk about Triller actually paying people.
You know, Tyson Fury, Dillian White. You know what I'm saying? $42 million?
We got to see if that happens. We learned last year that just because you win a purse bid doesn't mean that the winner actually puts on the fight. You know, they could forfeit and lose their deposit, you know?
Just as Triller did, you know, in
exactly.
that Teal.
Exactly.
And
we learned that. We learned that. So it's like, I'm not getting too excited.
Man, there's a lot of people in the chat really saying, like, Devin can't win on points in Australia.
I mean, we did see what happened to
Pacquiao.
Manny Pacquiao versus Jeff Horn. But I just think that they can't rob Devin because his fights are never close. Like, Linares won a round. Okay, you want me to be an extremist? Give him the round where he hurt Devin and then everything after that.
So it's three rounds.
It's still not enough.
Yeah, that was three
JoJo,
rounds.
JoJo, it's not close enough. Like, it won't be close enough. He's too skilled, too fast. Unless, again, we completely underestimate George once again, and he does have effective aggression, but that I don't think I don't see him outboxing. Devin is long, you know, uses a very good jab, and he has the discipline, you know, to stick to a game plan. Now, obviously, some will say, Ness, what are you talking about? He got caught for not sticking to the game plan, but at least we know my man can stick to a game plan for six rounds. You only need one more. You know, it's a race to seven.
Well,
keep one time Thurman told you that.
And let's remember, Devin had the first nine in the bag. It was at
that's
the
what I'm
end
saying.
Of the 10th, you know. And
But what I meant by the six is that's when he picked it up and started saying, you know what, I'm going to take Linares out. And he started staying in the pocket. But
yeah.
One through six, he outboxed the shit
and
out of him.
And then we saw, you know, in the JoJo fight, how smart he was about it.
Mm-hmm.
He knew when to get in. He knew.
But JoJo still landed on some to the body, but he was a southpaw, too. Is Kambosa a southpaw?
I don't remember.
So while you look that up, I'll just interject our other topic.
I'm pretty sure he's orthodox because he dropped Teal with the right.
Okay. He did. It was the right hand. Teal's back leg just gave out. You ever been, like, standing in line and shit, and someone comes behind you and taps the back of your kneecap?
Yeah.
And then when you almost fall, they're like, oh, you're hungry. That's how Teal looked.
So
when he got hit in the chin, that back leg just gave
George,
out like a kickstand.
You know, George is orthodox.
Okay.
You know, but look.
So that's one element that he doesn't even have to worry about. That southpaw
George Kambosos last three fights, and I will say, just for argument's sake, he was on the road.
No, but that's what I told you.
Hear me.
Their excuse would be.
Hear me. His last three fights have all been won by split decision.
Exactly.
Even the fight against Mickey Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Even the fight with Mickey Bay.
And Lee Selby. And that's what I'm saying. Look, Mickey Bay, thank you for coming in studio this week. I love him, but he's not. At that time that he fought Kambosos, he's not who Devin is today.
I mean, absolutely not.
And Lee Selby is a guy that started his career possibly at 22, even 18. I don't know. Click it. You're there. What did Lee Selby weigh in the beginning of his career, you know? And you're getting a split with that dude. I just think there's levels. And that's exactly why these negotiations.
Yeah.
See, negotiations didn't take long with Canelo. Why? Because he knew he could beat Plant.
Yeah, I mean, Lee Selby's a featherweight, you know, so.
So that was 26.
Yeah, he started.
So I was 4 pounds off, or you know, and I also tried to go 2 pounds even less. I tried to put him in at 122, 118 maybe. But he's still a smaller man moving up, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you're getting split decisions with older, faded, not – it's just – they're not Haney, bro. There is a reason this fight is being held up. But speaking of holdups – specifically when we're talking about fights, Ryan Garcia is allegedly back. ESPN is reporting it. Ryan is posting it.
Oscar.
Now check
did
this
you,
out.
Did you see his underwear pics?
I did see his birthday underwear pics. Come on.
That,
give some context.
That was a bit.
Let me pull it up on his IG. There's other IGs that have way more pictures. Like, his own IG only has one of him. And then there's other pictures on the internet of the same day, different angles and shit. First of all, is that Is that the same woman? Let me get a screen share. Is this woman here, who seems to be, you know, they look like they're in love here. I'm not even reading this caption. Yeah, he says, so thank you to Holly Saunders for making life easier and stress-free. Boom, boom. So then, is this the same woman? And he's like, happy birthday to me. It is? Okay. Okay, Keenan thinks it's the same woman. I don't want to disrespect anyone, but I was very afraid to find her attractive due to the contouring of her cheek makeup. It's giving me
that's
TS vibe.
That's the girl that
I'm a little afraid to think she's attractive because she's way her makeup. She's looking a little manly. Like, yo, is she?
That's the girl that was with Vegas Dave. You know Vegas Dave.
No, help me.
We sat next to her on a plane like last month.
Okay, particular woman.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Holly Sanders. Yeah, she was with Vegas Dave. Vegas Dave is a very famous gambler.
Okay.
He's hit like a lot of big, like I'm pretty sure he holds the record for like the top two or three biggest winnings ever in a sports book. And he was at one point in time banned from every casino in Las Vegas.
I just get why Oscar loves taking fucking underwear pics for the public, bro.
And then it's in tidy whiteys.
Bro, tidy whiteys. Like, what man at 50 is wearing Fruit of the Looms right now? Is that a thing? Like, I didn't even know tidy whiteys at 50 was a thing.
I'm a briefs guy, but.
Bro, I'm a boxer briefs. The new one, too. The
spandex one?
Yeah, yeah, they feel so much better. What the fuck is Oscar doing in his little brother's Superman underwear and shit?
In his chonies.
Bro.
I think I got Ralph Lauren on right now.
All right. I just got the message from heavyweight Jeremiah Milton. Just scored a big knockout, right, on the Tulsa top-ranking ESPN card.
Yes, sir.
And he's going to be coming through, get his little victory lap in, talk some boxing with us. And you know we loving it. The studio is going to see so many guests on a regular basis, man. Shout out to Mike Leonardi, his manager. Congratulations to the entire team on the win. Heavyweight Jeremiah Milton is now 4-0 with 4 KOs.
Shout out to Sticky Paw Studios. When we say the studio, we mean Sticky Paw.
Yeah. You know, I always hate that it's called Sticky Paws. And you don't get to smoke no sticky icky in this motherfucker. Yo, it's funny. It's funny. You were in the car, right? So he's in the car with us. And he had his whole face out the car like a Labrador Retriever and shit. I'm like, bro, what's up? He's like, oh, I don't like the smell. I'm like, damn, you should have told me a long time ago before I sat in the car.
Imagine him sitting across from us and you could smoke like we are now.
No, it'd be crazy. No, this place, they would need an extractor because it's got a lot of lighting too. Like I like that smoky look, man. I love Drink Champs, man. They be chilling in there.
Yeah.
Sheesh. But yeah, man, you can also ask Jeremiah Milton a question if you choose to. You can head on over to our patreon.com/theboxingvoice page. And click the link for the Ask Jeremiah Milton a Questions post. And we'll read it to him, your name.
Who may not be too familiar, Jeremiah Milton was in camp with Canelo and Frank Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Got sparring in with the both of them. Some good work from what I've heard. So, you know, we'll be able to talk to him about that. So for those of you, you know, definitely go to patreon.com. And get your questions in. Obviously, we will have them in studio here in a bit.
Mm-hmm. And I just got the message from heavyweight Jonathan Rice, who's also on his way and is scheduled to be right here in studio with us. Now, if you don't know who Jonathan Rice is, he is the man to hold two wins back-to-back over Mike Polite Coffee, obviously friend of the show. Mike, where you at? I hate that you're like, you know, you went dark on me. My man used to listen to this show before, you know, he got all popular and famous. And now, you know, he's just gone dark, man. And you know, losing is a part of this sport. You know, I remember Brazil took his loss to Wilder very tough. And that's how I feel like you're doing, Mike. You're taking his loss too tough. You ain't even responding. Like, come on, man. Get back on the horse. Let's get this motherfucking shake that loss off, you know, and come back, man. You just got to work on some things and get back in there, man. But, yeah, man. I wouldn't turn away from the sport at this age. I think he just got his highest payday, too. It was like a quarter mil. Like, you're not even done. You know what I mean? There's still so much more for him to do. And you know, I still believe, too, that boxing has changed in a way, Danny, so much in the last 10 years that you don't got to be a world champion to make a decent living and retire with some money.
Not
retire with enough money to be settled in. Retire with enough money to start your own business, you know. These guys got to start looking at life after boxing, but also utilizing boxing to get to that next level, you know. And it's funny because, you know, Berto said that, and he's trying to do that now with his content creation and the amazing job that he's doing with that. Obviously, he's done his cooking show as well. But, yeah, man, let me send another message to Mike because like I said, man, he hasn't responded, man. These losses, they fuck with a person's psyche, man. You heard Berto, man. Like, that loss to Victor Ortiz fucked his life up in his own mind.
No, absolutely. And he said it. He's like, yo, you need a different type of mental to deal with everything that comes with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully, you know, those are his only two losses. It's, you know, Michael Coffey, that is, it's a Johnny Rice, so... Hopefully, you know, we could hear from him soon and, you know, even have him on the show. So, Johnny Rice, you know, coming off back-to-back victories against Michael.
The biggest wins of his career, man.
Michael.
The biggest wins of his career. This changes his life. He's got a PBC deal after this win. And I got to show this, man. Let's get a little screen share. Because check out this little skit he did on his TikTok. I gotta get my TikTok popping.
You called me. You called the wrong number with the wrong number. So what's wrong with these people, man? Hey, man, this six-figure Johnny, man, what's going on? They still act like I'm four figures. No, man, this six-figure. They still act like I'm five figures. Why are you calling me with that bull? Six-figure Johnny's gonna be seven real soon. Six figures, baby. Money in the bank.
So obviously what he's talking about is ever since he beat Mike Polite Coffee, he's getting his phones off the hook and people are offering him opportunities, but they're offering him four-figure opportunities. So that's $1,000, you know, purses. And he's saying, look, I'm a $100,000 fighter
I'm a
now.
Six-figure fighter.
Yeah.
I'm a six-figure fighter.
Soon to be a million-dollar fighter.
Man, let's remember, Johnny Rice went into the first Michael Polite Coffee fight coming off back-to-back losses.
George, I think our first guest is outside. Very tall heavyweight, Jeremiah Milton. He should be walking out. He said, I think I'm outside. Yes, sir. It's going to go down in a bit. If you haven't already done so, head on over to patreon.com. You can click the link right here on our YouTube live chat where I have the Ask Jeremiah Milton question pinned. And we're going to be talking to him in just a few minutes.
And shout out to Jeremiah Milton, man. It's 7 in the morning here in Vegas.
7 in the morning. Listen, it's the Breakfast Club of boxing, man. You gotta understand, man. We hold some weight out here in these morning streets, man. People use us for their commute, man. But definitely shout out to him. Very appreciative.
You know, who's showing up at this time? You know,
man, I got two people coming in at this time.
No,
two heavyweights, man.
Shout out to Jeremiah Milton. You know, obviously – we're fortunate to have him in studio. We're fortunate to have the studio. You know, but it's different when you're on Zoom versus having you.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Champ! All right, man. So we've just been joined by Jeremiah Milton, heavyweight out of Tulsa. 4-0, 4 KOs, and you're doing the victory lap. Thank you. Good morning. How are you, champ?
Good,
oh man, good, man. So do I gotta remind you or you remember me exactly after I ran up on you in the mall?
Hey, yo.
Turn his mic on, Keenan.
Nah, yo,
talking to it?
We live.
I don't hear him. I don't hear him. Well, one moment as we
There he goes.
Now,
yeah, you know what? Still been pacing since you ran up on me, you know what I'm saying? Still been trying to get it done, you know. But.
Nah, you've gotten it done since then. I'm pretty sure things have changed, man.
Yeah.
It looked like it on the outside looking in for sure.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You know what I'm saying? Like, the main thing is I just got to keep moving the way I'm moving, you know what I'm saying, and keep throwing myself out there, you know, jumping at different opportunities and whatnot.
Well, speaking of opportunities, you have gotten a few since we've seen each other. Obviously, Danny Alvarez, no relation to Canelo Alvarez, but you were in that camp, and he was bringing that up to the audience earlier. Give us a little bit, some stories on that, man. How was your time with Canelo Alvarez and working with Frank Sanchez and just being amongst all those champions?
Yo, family, you know what I'm saying? One thing I said about his family, you know, Latin culture, you know what I'm saying? They really embrace people, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like, I don't fully speak the language when I go all down there, but, you know, they're getting better English, too. But, like, one thing about it is, like, you know, it's just private gym, you know what I'm saying? Everybody is there to help each other. You know, Eddie is a really good guy, you know what I'm saying? The whole team is just, like, family-orientated.
That's what's up, man. And how'd that situation come about? Obviously, they had you sparring Frank Sanchez, but how'd you end up with that assignment?
Dude, look, man, I'm telling you, like, one thing about it is you just got to keep putting in the work, man, and it'll get noticed, you know, like the boxing community, you know what I'm saying, the fighter fan base, you know what I'm saying, has really took a liking to me out here in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sparring with my boy Johnny Rice, you know what I'm saying, he get the phone call to come spar with Charles Martin. You know, he can't do it, he got work obligations, and, you know, he's like, hey, I got a guy for you, though. And so he told me, do I want to go? I said, yeah, I'll go down there.
Nice.
I spar with Charles, you know what I'm saying? Charles is like, wow, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you really got something, dude. And then Manny's telling me that. And then they
Manny Robles.
Yeah. Manny
his trainer.
Manny took a real liking to me, and Manny's a great, great coach. Learned a lot down there. So then he, you know, then Charles's people, their manager, whatever, tells Frank and them about me. And then, you know, next thing you know, I'm getting a call to go out that way. And then they like, wow, you know, you give Frank some of the best work. So, You got to keep coming back, you know what I'm saying? But my mentality ain't a sparring partner. It's just, you know, like, I want to be around the best. So,
for sure.
So I'm working.
Soaking it in.
Yeah.
And learning.
You got some rounds in with Canelo as well, didn't you?
I was supposed to. Yeah.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Like, and it was dead. They was dead serious about making it happen, man. It was right before the Caleb fight, you know what I'm saying? Like, Eddie come over to me, and Canelo was eyeing me.
Eddie Reynoso.
Yeah. Okay. Eddie came over to me, and Canelo was eyeing me. And he was like, hey, You come back Saturday, spar with Canelo? Like, yeah. I do that.
Yo, I love it, man, because people call me crazy. I think he could beat Rivas. Before Eddie Reynoso talked about Makabu, I was telling my audience he could beat Rivas. I seen Rivas last fight with Ryan Rozecki. Canelo beats Rivas right now.
And for the cash.
And he's sparring with Frank Sanchez. Did you get him to see him? You seen him in person or no?
Well,
sparring with Frank.
No, I didn't see him sparring with Frank. Frank was getting ready for his FA fight,
you
know what I'm saying? So, like, he was dialed in on himself. But, you know, I did watch Canelo train, you know what I'm saying? I seen it, like, close to person. You can watch YouTube videos. You can be like, oh, yeah, he won 60. Nah, the dude is cracking, and he's an accurate puncher.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? He's a very accurate puncher.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to give him that.
You know, obviously you were down there sparring with Frank, but what is something that you could say just from watching Canelo in the gym that you were able to take away?
You know, repetition, shot placement, and then, you know what I'm saying? Like, thing about it is, like, they come into the gym, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's just the mindset that's in that gym, you know what I'm saying? Like, they ain't in there, like, you know what I'm saying? They having a good time, but, like, it's just like, boom, we're going to get the work in, then we're going to get out, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that champion mindset, I think he's been, like, the hardest worker I've seen. But, I mean, it's with a purpose, too. It ain't just, like, I'm just grinding myself to death. It's like, you know, this is the blueprint. And they got a system. Look at the wins in the gym, you know what I'm saying? Like, what they win, 11 times in the last belts?
Mm.
All the fighters in there? So, it's the system.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Would you make, you know, we spoke about the F.A. and Frank Sanchez fight, and I feel that, you know, the majority of the people, you know, the consensus of the public was that F.A. hits too hard, you know, Frank ain't got the pop to hurt him, to keep him off of him. What you saw in the gym, is that well reflected in the fight?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I say like this. Frank, we know that FA was going to have the advantage in the power, you know. Frank knew that. Frank called it out, you know what I'm saying? But one thing about it is Frank can really box. He can really move. And that's one thing I've been saying, you know, about FA is like, you know, he has his one trick, you know what I'm saying? It's a decent trick, you know what I'm saying? But, like, when you match that up against boxing, this is still the sport of boxing.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I can't get too happy about, you know, the power that I got. I got to still develop my craft, you know what I'm saying? Because I got some good power myself, but – you know, when it comes to boxing, you know what I'm saying? Somebody putting these things on you, can't touch them, you know, then what you going to do? So, yeah, I think and in the last camp, I was out there with Frank right before he fought his Christian Hammer fight. He actually got stronger. So, I mean, I think it's just, you know, it take a while, you know what I'm saying, to, like, get locked into what Eddie and them is doing, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, but they on a solid growth trajectory, it looked like mm-hmm. to me.
Being in there, did you, like, reflect on anything? Like, man, I need to be working a little harder. Or did you look at the way they were working and say, damn, I'm right on par with these guys. Like, I've been doing what I need to do.
You know what? Like, it was about half and half, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, you know, the biggest thing about me is always going to be my heart, you know what I'm saying, and my work ethic, you know what I'm saying? But, like, one thing I noticed is when I got in there, I can work more effectively. You know what I'm saying? So, like I say, I don't want to keep throwing that term out there harder because people will think they'll take that the wrong way and be like, you know, let me go put in some extra, you know, and they burn themselves out. But you can work more effectively. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, that's the biggest takeaway is, like, being in some of these camps, you know, whenever I seen Fury and Wilder fight, because I was at that fight, you know, not to detract, that fight set the tone with the energy, though. So that you know, the way they came out and tried to fight each other for the heavyweight division, I think, you know, that inspired me to come out and not, you know, play no games with boys. I'm trying to jump on them.
So how much you think your level has increased, your skill, because now you've gone around to different gyms, you soaked in different things from different trainers.
Sure.
Have you felt that, I guess, uptick in your skill in this last fight?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, one thing about it is you're just going to have to wait and keep seeing me. You know what I'm saying? You're just going to have to wait and see it develop. You know, my last fight, you know, it was a last-man replacement in Dell Long. But, you know, the worst thing that could have happened in that fight was if I'd have let this man go any farther, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Or if he'd have made it out of the first round. You know, people was messaging me like, oh, yeah, he's going to slow down. I wouldn't worry about none of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was still giving him respect, and I approach it with that mentality. But, you know, I showcased what I needed to showcase and, you know, did what I did and showing, like, you know, there's just levels to the game. And when you're sticking around the best in the game, you know, your level go up.
Now, obviously, you've gotten the win, but this is your second top-ranked show. Have they expressed interest in a possible signing? Because I know it's been strategic too. Both times you've been on, both fights have been in Tulsa. You're obviously from Tulsa, so you know they're using you for your name and draw power in your home state. But have they started to take a liking and see the potential in you yet?
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know if you guys are aware, but like you know, I signed a promotional deal with Tony Holden.
Okay.
So Tony Holden is out of Tulsa. And that's my promoter right now, and he works real closely with Top Rank.
All right.
So, you know, I'm with Tony Holden, and I'm happy about the deal. Him and his son, Bryce, you know, they do a lot of different things. They did the Jake Paul card. You know, mm-hmm. they helped in whatever capacity that was. You know, and then they got connections with Showbox and mainly Top Rank. You know, Tony's been in the game, you know, since like a minute, you know, talking about Iron Barkley throwback. So, you know, he has good relations with Bob. And ESPN. So that's given me another opportunity to get on these cards now and to get my fights up, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I think they got a good plan for me. Whatever, you know, Top Rank likes me too, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what happens in the future, you know what I'm saying? Like if there's that, you know, necessarily partnership or however they do that on the boxing biz. But, you know, all the guys at Top Rank, they all been buzzing about me. You know, so, like, you know, they push me, like, you know what I'm saying, like I'm one of their own.
You know, speaking of Top Rank, it was the first time you were on their card in Tulsa. You had that that knockout moment where he was, like, knocked out on the ropes.
Standing up.
And we saw that.
Let me get a screen share, Keenan.
That went viral everywhere.
Keenan, I'm calling it like Keen Ivory Ways, but you said Keenan.
Keen. Like, put the key in the door.
Key in the door.
Key in us.
But here's the highlight on your Instagram for those people that aren't following. It's obviously Dreamland_Milton. But this is the knockout that we're speaking of. I mean, take us through this moment, man.
You know, there we go again. You see it, like, right there. You know, I'm just patient. The main thing about this was the fact that I didn't hit him again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's what a lot of people really respected about the KO. But, you know, I actually credit this one right here to Ortiz to a certain extent. Ortiz and Canelo, they kind of have, you know, a way that they set up their feints. You know, I was able to freeze him, and I never seen nothing like it myself, you know, and I was able to realize the situation. And when I seen the situation, you know, I'm just like, hey, this man, you know, he done. It's the first round. So you seen in my second fight on Top Rank, when I dropped Dale, I was patient. You know what I'm saying? I didn't
Can you
jump
go to that next?
Yeah. I was real patient on the second fight. And it's because, you know, I know I'm fighting a full round. That was a full round fight too. These guys, you know what I'm saying, I want to get them out of there in a spectacular fashion if I'm going to take them out. So, yeah, just being more patient with my setup and being aware I'm in control of the game.
I got to ask, you know, the sport obviously is protect yourself at all times. You brought up not hitting them again. Why didn't you? Because I know a lot of people like, oh, you know, if you would have, it's, you know, it would have been clean. You know, the ref hadn't intervened.
Floyd did it.
Ref hadn't intervened up to that point. What was going through your mind? Like, obviously you saw you had him hurt on the ropes. What went through your mind?
You know, I think it's just, you know, my level of awareness. You know what I'm saying? It's just different. I mean, I can only be myself in that ring. You know, and when I'm in that ring, you know what I'm saying, I got very bad intentions. You know what I'm saying? But, like, the goal is, you know what I'm saying, to stop, you know, whatever's coming at me, you know what I'm saying? Whatever's trying to hurt me. That's how I assist. You know, my opponent is trying to hurt me, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to hurt him. That is what it is. You know, but do it go any further than that? Do I necessarily want to catch a body? Never. You know what I'm saying? You never hear me ever talk like that. And this was one of those moments to where, you know, I analyzed the situation. Something did not look right. It almost looked like he was having a seizure in front of me. You know, it is what it is. I was in my rights to hit him again. You've seen the homie Shushu, you seen his fight last week.
Yeah.
Yo, he punishes this boy on the ropes. And, I mean, you know, dog mentality, you know what I'm saying? That nothing's wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing's wrong with it. It's boxing. You know, I had a lot of people tell me, oh, I should have hit him again. You know, what if he comes back? What if he does this? You know, this wasn't no championship fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, this dude ain't nothing like he, none of these guys, you know what I'm saying, in my opinion. Even if I'd have fought the Jason Bergman, you know, I'd have got him out of there in spectacular fashion. You know, I'm just at that level to where I can do what I want to do in the beginning.
Do you think that your counterparts may now question your killer instinct?
Nah, well, you know, that'd be good. Whatever they want to think. Whatever they want to think, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really just don't care, you know what I'm saying, because I can box. You know, I can crack, obviously. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get my respect in there. You just got to get in there and find out.
Kian, let me get another screenshot here. This is your last performance. And I'm starting to pick up that purple's your favorite color. We'll get into it, though. But here's the latest knockout.
Boom.
And right temple shot, right? Right on the top of the head, kind of.
Yeah, shot placement.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's very important where you place your shots, you know. My team wanted to see me let my hands go, so, you know, I started thudding them a little bit, you know what I'm saying, as the round kind of carried
right,
on.
Ken.
But, you know, shot placement is one thing that I see, like, the better knockout artists do, such as, like, Canelo and Ortiz and stuff like that. They just know where to put their punches.
So things have changed a lot, man. Now you're signed to a promoter. You've had a couple of television fights. But I think the biggest thing I'm excited about is that you're working with Coach Larry Wade. How long has that been happening?
No, that's been something from the jump.
The beginning?
Yeah, we just been. You know, I've always been underneath the, since my professional career started, the Larry Wade banner.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying, like he has his assistants as well, and they do due diligence, you know what I'm saying? So I've more closely worked with people following his plan, you know, and we haven't even got the hit our full potential yet, because you know, he's still like at the time he was still with Track and his other, you know, fighters, you know what I'm saying? You have Caleb, you got Sean, you got Badu.
Badu, Jack. Yeah. He had a lot, but things have changed. I hear Badu moving up or something like that.
Yeah, I think he's at cruiserweight now.
Yo, I mean, you know, Badu can do it. I don't really know what's going on with the man, you know, so I can't speak on it. But you know, Badu, you know, he congratulated me for the last fight as well. But, yeah, I'm with all the guys, you know what I'm saying, that they've done something in the sport, you know what I'm saying? And, yeah, so Coach Wade, we've only had opportunities to do camps. We haven't had opportunities to, like, really, like, build the foundation outside of camps. And that's something we're about to start back, you know, next week. We're going to start actually, like, you know, building, you know, because most of the time you get me, it's like, all right, let's get them in shape, you know what I'm saying? But, like, we talked about it, you know, after this fight and everything like that, because there's so much more we can actually do. So you'll see me on the scene with him a lot more.
That's what's up. I definitely like that you're with him, man. He does a great job, did a fantastic job with Badu Jack. I've rarely seen him tired, and he was always able to dig deep. Porter. Able to dig deep.
One of my favorite guys to watch.
Plant. Yeah. I thought, man, I really didn't think he was going to get knocked out by Canelo. I thought his legs, the same thing like you, being with Larry for all these years, I thought the stamina would be there. But I guess it's different, man. You know, when you got someone like that in front of you, it might not matter all the miles you run. It's a mental thing, right?
It got to be that, too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not taking away anything from Caleb's mental. You know, it's just you going in there with the tallest task. You know, we talking about Canelo fighting a heavyweight right now. That's what we led with. You know what I'm saying? So the man do have something. You know, he got something in him. And watching him that close and, you know, I like some of the things they do in their camp, man. You know, of course, that's the world champ, and they all do the same routine pretty much. You know, I don't see anybody. What I seen Frank doing was the same thing I seen Canelo doing, and like I say, that's what I'm seeing. I like, oh, Frank got a little bit more power this time. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, they doing something right over there.
What was there any surprise to you, right? Because at this point, you had already been around Canelo and been in camp with them. When they announced the cruiserweight thing and, you know, to be mandatory for Junior McAboo or to be ranked number one, I should say, was there any surprise? Like, wow, like he's going to go up, you know, for a fifth division.
Yeah, no, I ain't going to lie. I was surprised, but then it made sense. I was like, that's why they wanted to spar me. You know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, it is interesting because I had nothing when they asked that question. Like, you know, I'm not no Caleb Plant. I'm a heavyweight. You know what I'm saying? I'm a completely different fighter. So, you know, he's getting ready for Caleb. And, you know, they talking about sparring me. So it was like, it was odd, but it was just like, yo, this just like, at first I thought he was just doing it, you know what I'm saying, to like, because he enjoy it. But then I'm like, okay, there was a plan, you know what I'm saying, for like why they wanted to see that, because they was already discussing probably. And so, yeah, if he does take that, you'll probably see me out there sparring with Canelo, you know?
Crazy. I wonder if they wanted to get a gauge, or is that an indication that they've made the decision to fight Makabu?
See, and before you got here, I told him, I'm like, I'm pretty sure, because I saw footage of him sparring a heavyweight, and it wasn't Frank Sanchez. I'm like, I thought it was you. I thought it was you.
The Ellis boy.
Ronald?
But he's
like 68.
Yeah.
Those was thinking that was me because we had the dreads. I got messages talking about, yo, you sparring Canelo. I said,
you know what? And
that wasn't me.
It could have been.
He kind of looked big in the video. He had a white headgear on or something. He kind of looked big in the video, but I don't know. Like, you know, his videos Canelo's videos, they go viral no matter what. Whoever he's sparring, and they was like, yo, was that you? I said, what? I laughed about it because I said, yo, that ain't me, dog.
So we have Jonathan Rice scheduled to come in next around 7:30. So you might bump into him out there. But I see, you know, that he's congratulating you on all your wins right here on your Instagram and stuff like that.
Who's
just,
that?
Jonathan Rice.
Oh, okay, Johnny Rice.
So just what's your relationships or the basis of your guys' relationship and how'd you meet him and yeah.
Oh yeah, you could have brought him in here with me, man. That's my dog, man. Yeah, Johnny, man, we met over at Bones Gym, you know what I'm saying? He working with Coach Rodney, Coach Bones, and I was over there at the time. And, yeah, you know, it was one of those things when we first met each other, we just heavyweights, we getting our work in and stuff like that. But, like, you know, we've been in the trenches together, man. We sparred Tyson Fury together. You know, he was coming off of work, working all night, getting over there, getting off, like, 5-6 o'clock in the morning to come spar at 9. So, like, for him, man, he been on this exponential, like, rebirth. And, yeah, I can't be more happy for my dog, man. Like, just seeing him, like, you know, have that confidence now to come in here and do what he's doing to these guys with his upset with Michael Coffey in the rematch. And I'm sure he's going to be on it again because he's taking his craft that much more serious.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. You know, he was coming off that FA loss into that fight with Michael Polite Coffey.
I mean, let's be real. Jonathan Rice had journeyman like stigma. These two wins, he's got a deal. From what I understand, he signed a PBC now. I mean, I've been following him for a while. He's physically changing his body. Is he with Coach Larry Wade now too?
You know, I don't know the details on what they got going on, but I did tell him. I said, yo, you know, reach out to him because he was really like what they did in my camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of mutual friends, and so he's seen like how was Transformer going into this fight.
He looked like he transformed. His chest looking visibly in better shape.
Nah, you know what? But I mean, like, you see, after he fought the second time, he said, "Yo, I'm gonna stop working so hard. I'm gonna just get in the gym." So now, you got the money. You know what I'm saying? To take care of yourself. Like boxing is so mental.
But he still got a day to day because he told me he's getting off at 7 to be here at 7:30. So
he's
like you with the third shifts.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's about to be out of that job, though. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But like, he's starting to really dial into what he got going on boxing wise, and he see the opportunity in front of him. So I think he's gonna see the door. He's gonna walk through it, you know. It's been good. It's been good working with Johnny. It's been great. You know what I'm saying? Having him as you know somebody that's been in the game that I can hit up on some
absolutely.
Some advice,
of course.
That's what you need. You know what I'm saying? I'm around all these dudes that had their own experience, put their own years in, you know what I'm saying? So I ain't necessarily got to make all the same mistakes.
For sure, for sure. Did you expect both of those wins?
No doubt.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, because I was looking
at... Yo, you know Mike Polite's my guy.
I'm sorry.
Bro, 0-0, I met him at 0-0 as a Wilder spawn partner, and then just ever since, I wasn't expecting that.
Bro, he has a great story. You know what I'm saying? Great story, man. Shout out to dude, man. But in the sport of boxing, man, I was actually in L.A. sparring with Charles when he fought Rock, and he was on my radar then. I want to catch up on these fights. So, you know, I'm around all these great fighters.
So, wait, you had Polite Coffey on your radar.
Yeah, he was on my radar, man.
That's
you
crazy.
Know, man, he was on my radar.
At the time when he was undefeated, he was hunting Jared Anderson. He's like, yeah, I want the Anderson fight now. I'll fight Dillian White. I want... You know, Gerald Washington, and then all along, he doesn't even know you're looking at him like food.
I ain't make it there yet, you know what I'm saying? Johnny got to it first, so, you know, it is what it is. You can't cap in this sport, man, so you ain't going to hear me really just, you know what I'm saying, like, do anything like that. I got a lot of growth, and I got a lot of things that I need to get done, but you see who I'm hanging with, so don't be super shocked when I'm getting in there and doing what I'm doing. Because I got the I've been embraced, man. I've been embraced by these fighters, man. I'm not just in here sparring with them. You know, Fury follows me. You know what I'm saying? He watches my story. I've been embraced by these guys.
Somebody that ain't embracing you and he wants you on the menu is Deontay Savage.
Damn. He don't want that. He don't want
that. I don't
that.
Know. I've seen y'all with a little back and forth. I would say a month ago or within a 30-day span. What was going on with the two of you guys? I bumped into him actually it was out here, right? For the Devin Haney fight. He's pretty big.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He's pretty big, so he's going to feel all that. You know what I'm saying? just like my last boy. He wouldn't get out the way of no punch. He felt everything. That weight don't be helping you. Look, about Savage, man, you stay in Vegas. We live here. You see who I work with. I've sparred mostly every heavyweight out here.
Have you sparred his manager as well, Chris Lovejoy?
I ain't sparred with Chris, man, but we know the game, man. You know what I'm saying? And no offense to Chris, man. You know what? Cool dude, man, taking his opportunities, and I respect that. But, you know, I ain't with none of the Jake Paul cap. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be mentioned with the guys doing it. You know what I'm saying? Not just the crowd chasers or nothing like that. I'm trying to be, you know what I'm saying, amongst those guys that are really – really making some noise.
Who else do you currently have on your radar? Obviously 4-0, and with the knockouts you have been getting, you know.
I don't want to cut you off, but Polite's still not on your radar? Like, that's still not a good name for you because you're only 4-0. If you could beat Polite right now, that's still a leap up, I think.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. Like, I feel like for sure I could beat Michael Coffey, you know, without no problems. And that's no disrespect. He got some things to him, but you know, one of his accomplishments, they lifted in the rematch or something, was he was a regional Golden Glove winner. Like, bro, you got to make it to nationals. You got to make it. You know, you got to have some background in sport, man. I mean, he was doing things, but you look at his fights, before he fought Johnny, he beat
Damani Rock.
Damani Rock, then he beat
that undefeated Olympian, right?
Rock though, that wasn't the Damani. That was...
No, he was off for like 11 months, I think.
Yeah. I mean, look at his neck, everything. He couldn't take a shot. Then you have the one guy, Joey Abel, blew his own freaking arm out punching on Coffey. He would have lost that night if you asked me, you know, but the guy blew his arm out. So he was coming off two mysterious wins, you asked me, you know what I'm saying? Two mysterious wins to go into that Johnny Rice fight. You know, Great story, man. They really wanted to keep that alive, you know what I'm saying? And he did, you know, go that far undefeated. But, you know, sometimes there's just some capping going on. But, hey, you know, I don't really, like, necessarily have anybody per se to where I'm just like, oh, I want to fight that guy. But there is a guy in London, David Adelaide, who I probably just don't like as a person. And I don't know.
How don't you like a dude in a whole nother country as a person? What, some internet shit?
Hey, yeah, man, I'm just, okay. Like, you know, come off the tough guy stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I seen him struggling some fights, and then he get out of the ring, you know what I'm saying? Not even, like, humble enough to admit that he still got to, you know what I'm saying, do this, do that. He making excuses, you know what I'm saying, for these lackluster performances. And still trying to act like, you know, he won these hard dudes. So I don't know, it rubbed me the wrong way one time, and it stuck with me. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I see him in his fights, man, he doing more flinching than fighting. I just think it would be a good fight. We got the same type body.
What do you think about I was about to say, you ain't got no same type body. You don't think he's too muscular or overly muscular or more muscular than you?
David Adelaide?
Yeah. Nah. He signed with Frank Warren, right?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Man, he pretty cocky, bro.
Yeah, he's pretty cocky, man. You know what I'm saying? But he get laid down, man. Muscles ain't intimidating no knuckles, baby.
No, I hear you, but I feel like he's bigger than you because you said similar body types. I don't.
Yeah. I mean, he a little bit more gassed up. You know, just a little bit more gassed up. You know,
but muscles don't win fights. Yeah, I agree.
I ain't no shabby looking heavyweight myself.
Let me get a screenshot, Kenyon. So this is David Adelaide, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, look at this guy on the fucking bike right here, bro. No way.
Yeah,
are your biceps that big? I mean, and I'm asking here. This is not sarcasm because I just thought he was always cocky. I've been following him since he was 0-0. Look at this shot, bro. Nah, man, this dude's fucking huge.
Yeah, gassed up. Look at him, man. He's straight gassed up, man. Look, I got a video of this fight, actually, man.
Of that fight?
Yeah. It's on my phone somewhere. But you watch the first and I don't want to give everything away.
Oh, y'all got similar knockouts. Look at this. Let me get one more.
That's the one. Look at it. Look, this the one. He got him on the ropes.
They got him like Jesus Christ on the ropes.
I'm looking like, I think that would be interesting. You put the two and two together, you know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, I'm doing this much more effectively than he is.
Man, I like that you're trying to get yourself a little UK rivalry early in. Was the fight ever offered to you, or is this just some back and forth between you and him, or have you even had a back and forth?
Does he
know how you feel?
Negative. He has no idea, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just, you know, I'm watching the internet, you know what I'm saying? I'm doing my due diligence, looking at the heavyweight division.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't have no – I'm not a beef guy, you know what I'm saying? And I don't make this sport emotional at all, you know what I'm saying? Just part of the job, but – you know, I'm watching him and I'm listening to his interviews too, and I'm just like, this guy kind of scary. You know what I'm saying? He kind of capping.
Mm. Is there anybody on the top rank side? Now, don't mean F.A. or Jared Anderson, unless that's something that you want to do. I mean, I look at you as a 4-0 fighter, so I'm looking for guys in and around that level. You know, Anderson and even F.A. are slightly ahead.
Yeah.
Johnny's outside. Anybody on that top rank stable, and I'm asking about that stable because I feel like it's more realistic. You've had two appearances there. You know, obviously they like you, so they might match you with someone they have.
For sure. And that's one thing too. So I came out of amateurs around the same time as Jared. He was 1 year before me when he turned pro, but he didn't really get the ball moving until almost when COVID popped on the pro scene. You know, I'm trying to catch up with these guys now, though, because, I am 4-0, you know what I'm saying? And, they got farther than me, you know what I'm saying? So they knocking on different doors.
Mm-hmm.
Adelaide's knocking on a different door. He's got, you know, a lot more fights. You know, I'm trying to definitely get maybe, five more fights this year so that these conversations become more realistic. You know, I know there's guys in that top-ranked stable. You know, they just signed, Richard Torres, the Olympian, stuff like that. You know, they got Antonio, a guy, that also fought in the amateurs. So there's a lot of fights in top rank that I can make happen. And we're gonna make something happen down the line. But, yeah, you got to knock off somebody in your own group that everybody is kind of talking about being the next guy. You know, that's how you get it done. Mm-hmm. you ain't really seen no fights like that. You've had Joe Joyce, you know, beating Daniel Dubois. That was one of those fights where they was right there with each other. Like, they mm-hmm. was in the same class, in a sense. You know, Joyce has a better pedigree, but they was in the same class. Then you had recently Frank beating Efe, who was pretty much in the same class of people. You got guys like, what's his name, Herkovich. You know, he trying to get the Joseph Parker fights. And these fights ain't happening because on a clout level,
You ain't there.
You ain't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So he needs that Tony Yoka fight or something like that. So
yeah, that's off the table because Yoka,
he got the Bacoli
paperwork. But Kian, let me get another screen share here. What do you think about Kingsley eBay, common opponent with Jared Anderson, been on top rank about 2 or 3 times on their television? He lost to Jared Anderson. Did you see this man fight on top rank? And do you think that's a good opponent? Do you think that you're in the position where if top rank wants you back, you can ask for this name?
Yeah, when I did my interview with you over, Danny, when we was at, City, you know what I'm saying? We didn't really talk about this, but, you know, I wanted – he beat my homeboy Patrick Malata, and that was – surprising to me, you know what I'm saying? I don't think really he won, but, you know, Pat could have did some things. But I was talking to my management then, like, yo, because I wanted my top rank shine. I wanted to be out there. Yo, let's get eBay. Then Jared going there and showing for what he is, because he boxed Guido, and I don't know what Guido was doing.
Visionella?
Yeah. Guido just had an off night and got a draw with him somehow. And I'm like, yo, but when you come down to boxing, this American-style boxing, we got a different swag about us in that ring. So, like, you got to just got to remind these people that, like, there is levels to it, man. So, yeah, an eBay fight would be something that I'd take. That'd be no problem, too. But, you know, he's already been decimated by Anderson, so there's always going to be, like, a comparison factor. But that's cool.
I mean, gives people something to talk about, right? Because if let's say you go in and you were to get a more spectacular knockout or finish, people are going to talk about it like, oh, my goodness, Jeremiah Milton did it better than Jared Anderson. We was just saying that for the fight tonight with Keith Thurman and Mario Barrios. People are going to compare Thurman's performance with Javante's performance. It's just natural, right? It gets the people talking. You know, social media these days, you know, you got people like Evan Korn and Carl Moretti. They on Twitter. They seeing what the people saying. So it wouldn't be a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. Never. Never a bad thing, of course. You know what I'm saying? Even in my last fight, you know what I'm saying, we all had common opponents. And, you know, that guy got blasted by F.A. So I'm like, yeah, you know, I got to make sure that I'm, you know, I'm putting him in his place. It's heavyweight division, you know what I'm saying? There ain't a lot of guys. A lot of these guys, you know, fight each other and stuff like that. So, I mean, none of these fights ain't really off the table. And, I mean, you know, when you ain't got a lot of fights under your belt, you know what I'm saying, like, you can only bark so high. So, like, you know, I don't waste my breath, you know what I'm saying? I just feel personal about the LA thing, but if I don't waste my breath, you know what I'm saying, shouting out guys, I just, what they want to see, I'm going to give it to them.
Well, Jeremiah, I have Jonathan Rice in the green room, so I got four questions from the people that we want to just rapidly get off before we bring them in. I actually, last minute, because I didn't know how friendly the relationship was, now that I hear it's you guys are tight, I wanted to have the fourth mic, but it just won't be able to happen
That's cool.
This time around. But definitely would love to get both of you guys back on sort of a round table. But we got one of your biggest fans. He's been following you from the very beginning, since the minute we started interviewing you. Israel Weber from Oklahoma says,
hey, my guy with the pizza.
Shout out to OK Dude doing big things. Ness, give Jeremiah my number one. My number. He wants you to have his number. I nixed my IG. Thanks, y'all. So shout out to Izzy, man, just showing some love and, you know, definitely one of your fans.
I'm going to tap in with you.
We got James in San Antonio, James Valdez, who says, what's the story behind the nickname Dreamland?
Oh, yeah, Dreamland, you know, it's significant to my city. You know what I'm saying? I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Actually, you know what I'm saying? It's my tattoo right here. I got the tattoo before I decided to go by that. But, you know, Dreamland was a theater on Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was burned down, you know, during that whole massacre that happened out there. You know, there's been some new research done, and it's been, you know, shown across, you know, the nation, you know, the story of Tulsa, Oklahoma. But Dreamland, to me, is reference to the time of, you know, rebirth and prosperity. So, like, you know, I don't focus on the pain from, you know, what happened. I focus on for what it was, you know what I'm saying, a place for people to go. You know, they watch their favorite movie at the theater, and so you had a good time. So, you know, when you come to see me, you know, you come watch the show, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm going to put on the show. I'm going to send these dudes to Dreamland, you know what I'm saying? And, yo, it's a party when Dream step into Tulsa, Oklahoma, especially, you know, it's going down.
I like that. I'm going to send them to Dreamland.
You know, isn't the barbecue joint, ain't that the name of the barbecue joint
down
in Alabama?
In Alabama,
yeah.
Dreamland.
Oh, word.
Man, you got to eat at Dreamland, man. That's one of the best rib spots that I've ever
like
been to.
They have like a few locations, I think, like maybe like three locations, but it's called Dreamland Fire-Ass Barbecue.
Good memory, man. Yeah, man. Shout out to Deontay Wilder, man. I got to experience that in the mini camps he allowed me to be part of, and that is one of the best rib spots I've been to. I got the best dad ever from Baltimore, who says, who are your favorite fighters to watch? And if Wilder were to return, who would you want him to fight?
Oh, yeah, my favorite fighters to watch, you know what? Canelo is that guy. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? I really just learn a lot anytime I'm watching him. So I was very blessed to meet him, you know what I'm saying, last year and see him work in person. You know, and I enjoy watching a lot of different guys for their charisma. I like watching Wilder. I think, you know, if Wilder was to come back, I still like to see him make that Joshua fight happen. You know what I'm saying? That's a fight that's still on the table. You know, some unanswered questions there. I think, you know, he wins that fight, though. But, you know, Wilder's still – he got so many different options. You know what I'm saying? For him to be compared and to be, you know, saying, oh, he just ain't this and ain't that, you know what I'm saying? Like, he gave the world champ Tyson Fury a hell of a run. Hell of a run. Three fights that'll go down in history, you know what I'm saying, as one of the greatest trilogies there was. And so, yeah, he got a lot more that he can give if he chose to do that.
We got two more. Steve in the UK says, hey, Jeremiah, thanks for coming on the show. Have you got any plans to capitalize further on that AJ link up and come over here to fight any of our heavyweights across the pond? Once again, thanks for coming on the show, Steve in the UK.
Oh, yeah. You know, shout out to the UK, man. I really enjoyed my time when I was out there. You guys really love y'all's boxing. So, yeah, you know, I want to get my name in there with some UK cats just because, you know, they go hard for the sport, man. They're going to show out and they're going to turn it up every time. And I don't know. I've always had a personal connection since I was a kid, just a love for, you know, the UK. I don't know where that really came from. But I definitely you'll be seeing me over there at some point. Later.
Yeah, let's get Eddie, get Jeremiah on one of his shows. He has all these heavyweights out there.
I'm sure Sam Jones, who's not with Eddie anymore, but I'm sure he'll be calling you for. He's got two heavyweights, Dakari Solomon and
Joe Joyce.
Joe Joyce.
Yeah, he got.
Oh no, and Johnny Fisher.
Johnny Fisher. Yeah. Yep. And then
Dakari Solomon and then Joe Joyce. Yep.
And then Guido is also his
goal. Oh, that's right. The thing is that Guido's been off the map after that bad Top Rank fight.
Yeah, he had one return fight, and I don't know where he really been out.
Last one is from Cincinnati, Brandon, who says, you and Big Shot Shaw are two of the heavyweight division's best-kept secrets. Who wins if you guys fight?
I can't say Shaw. Come on, huh? You know what I'm saying? I just met Shaw, man. He was cool, man. You know what I'm saying? But, like... it is what it is, man. You know, there's just not enough names in the heavyweight division. You know, before they replaced my last guy, they threw the fight to three guys. I think that would have been better than Jason Bergman even. You know, they tried to give the shot to Greg Corbin, who, you know, I shared the ring with. I was helping him get ready for Philip Hargovich fight back in 2017 or 18 or something like that. So, like, they throwing me out there with some names. You know, you'll be seeing me step up in class, and I'll probably be doing it rather quickly just because I want to. You know, I got the skills and the heart to do it.
That Corbin fight would have been great in Tulsa because he's from Dallas, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, actually, that, you know, for them even to throw that out there, they kind of undershot that because for it to be a last-minute fight, you know what I'm saying, he could probably generate, you know what I'm saying? Because that's just, yo, four hours.
I got to get you out of here, but I want to ask about Thomas McEachin. Were you offered that fight?
I don't know who that is.
Oh. We just had him in here. Did he not say he was offered a Milton fight?
I think he said that he was calling for the Milton fight. I don't think he said it was offered.
He trains out of the City Gym too, though.
That city, yeah.
Never heard of you.
I love the pause. Listen, we're going to do a quick intermission so we get a photo op with you. I want to thank you, obviously, for coming in to the studio and giving us an opportunity to interview you. Please give out your social media. Let anybody know anything where they could get any merchandise, any websites, any locations where they can follow you on any social media. And once again, we truly appreciate your time getting up early this morning to come into the studio.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you guys for having me. You know what I'm saying? You could tap in with me. Follow me at Dreamland_Milton on Instagram or just Dreamland Milton on Twitter. And just keep up with the journey, man. Shout out to everybody that's been a part of it along the way. And, yeah, we got more to do. So, yeah, just stay tuned.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We're going to do a 3-minute intermission while we go ahead and get a photo out with Jeremiah Milton and Jonathan Rice that's in the green room. Obviously, you know, for promotional purposes. So, Kian, please give me a logo while we go.
Thank you, champ.
Appreciate
you, man.
Probably, that's what I'm saying. You can hear me anyway. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to give Johnny Rice a few minutes to get settled in. I thought I left you with some elevator music. That didn't happen. We're going to definitely address the sound bites and soundboard as we continue to work here in the new studio location in Las Vegas. We are on Sunset. It is fight day, and we have the upset special, Johnny Rice in the building.
Mr. Six Figures himself.
Yeah. No, seven. Soon to be seven, champ. Yeah, you can come sit down, man. I love your skit, by the way, Johnny. I really like what you did there, you know, letting people know. Don't be calling me with these pathetic offers, man. I did some big things on television. Listen, you broke my heart. Take it around. Go around this way.
Oh, yeah.
You broke my heart. I'm going to just let you know right now. I still am. That's, look, he's probably never going to call me. I almost said was. I'm a huge Mike Polite Coffee fan. I met him in Wilder's camp when he was 0-0 and followed his career up until you fucking ended it, bro. Why you do that to my mans in there, man?
I mean, I don't think his career is over, you know what I mean, especially as a
heavy. He not even answering messages. I hope he don't fade to black, man.
Nah, he going to be good, you know what I'm saying? He gonna come back strong, I believe. You know, that's what a real heavyweight going to do. You know, it's going to be plenty of fights to be made, plenty of growth to be done. So I definitely wouldn't count him out at all.
I hope not, man. But obviously you are a person that can tell us how he can get himself out of that, right? Because many counted you out. Obviously, I am one of those guys who, you know, gave you a stigma of a journeyman. I thought Polite was going to go through you, and you've obviously turned it around two times to show that it wasn't a fluke and landed a PBC deal on top, man. I mean, life has changed, obviously, man. Just walk us through it.
Yeah, well, you know, the beauty of being here and living is for you to decide what you want to do, how you want to do it. You know, like I said before, you know, you can't let your past dictate your future. You got to decide who you want to be, how bad you want it. You got to get around others that are, you know, higher than you on a higher level that are taking over, and you got to follow their lead.
Absolutely, man. So Jeremiah was telling us that he sparred with you in preparation for that coffee fight. How confident were you going into the first fight that you were going to get the type of, you know, win that you had,
well, you
and
know,
the success, obviously?
I had no idea how I was going to do. I just told myself I need to do what I've been training to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to prepare yourself for battle. You get out there and you execute. No matter what happens, you got to give it your all. And, of course, it started with preparation. Yes, I worked with Jeremiah quite frequently. Iron sharpens iron. He's an incredible fighter. Obviously, viral knockout after viral knockout, you know. So the proof was in the pudding for him. And, you know, I'm standing around these highly motivated and dedicated guys. And so I also worked with Michael Hunter for that fight as well. And, you know, when I got in the ring with Michael Coffey, my whole thought process was just, you know, do what I've been training to do and not hold back.
Now, did you know that an opportunity with PBC would come out of this, or was that all a blessing in disguise?
All a blessing in disguise. You know, when you win, we all know you win, you make more money. But now when you really feel that you make more money, you want to win more.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just the way it goes. So, again, I didn't even have a Michael Coffey fight. I was like an alternate. Obviously, I wanted Gerald Washington to get in there and go after Michael Coffey. I'm good friends with him. But I was just an alternate, and they said, hey, you know, unfortunately, Gerald is out. You're in. So I was in, and I was ready because I live a lifestyle of boxing.
Now, going into that first fight, post-fight, you know, Coffee fans, we're like last-minute replacement, bro. He was training for a totally different style. He had his mind on Gerald Washington. He'd been calling for Gerald Washington since he beat Darmani Rock. But then you did it again. What did you do differently from first camp to second camp?
Ate a little bit too much food.
Oh, so you feel you were, well, obviously you did come in about 20 pounds heavier.
Yeah. So don't get me wrong, my conditioning was still there, but I guess I was definitely overconfident. I wasn't lying about that. Mm. So sometimes you might eat a little bit more, or you might not work extra to get the extra pounds off. You might be like, man, you know what? Yo, they run in the back. You know what? I'm going to win again. You know what I mean? And, you know, I feel like that was a problem for me. But still, I was putting in the work. I got great coaches to motivate me and push me. And we got it done. It was definitely hard. It was definitely not a fun fight. But we got it done. I'm happy. I'm relieved. It was more of a fight of relief. So now I just started working with Larry Wade, Coach Larry Wade and his crew. Obviously, I seen Jeremiah working with him. I'm like, man, shoot, Jeremiah look amazing. But guess what? I'm going to do what it takes for me to look better. So I had to call his guys. I'm like, man.
Well, you looking? How long have you been with him? Because I feel like the post that you posted of you on the treadmill, your chest is looking more defined.
I've been with I've been on a diet since the fight,
okay.
But I just started with Larry Wade last week.
Nice.
I wanted to ask, obviously, just because the weight did come up. Throughout your career, you've been between 255 to 285. Where do you feel your best at? You know,
260.
260?
Yeah, I need to be 260. So that's what you're going to see me at my next fight. Don't have a fight scheduled. I'm just in the gym trying to get 260 as fast as possible.
So going into the first fight with Michael Polite-Coffey, obviously, it had been close to 11 months since your defeat to Efe Ajaba. What was the mentality like? Because that wasn't your fight. That was, you know, like you said, you was on standby, right? Which we've seen them do throughout this pandemic. What was that mentality like for you? Because, you know, obviously being inactive in the sense of not being able to fight, not knowing if you're going to get the call like, hey, you're fighting. What's that mindset like to be on standby, be out of the ring close to 11 months?
I mean, it's more of a the journey. You know, when you're out of the ring, what are you doing? So immediately when I got out of the ring, I was called down to Miami to go train with Philip Hercovic. We all know Philip Hercovic is supposed to be the new boogeyman. You know, nobody
supposed
wants to fight
be,
him.
Huh?
Yeah, but I'm gonna keep it real. You know, they're not offering big money for him, and it's simple. And you know, a guy like Philip Hercovic,
but he doesn't have a belt. Why does he have to? Why does the purse have to be high? He's barely a contender. His biggest win is Eric Molina.
Well, he's a mandatory right now. Meaning that he has the number one spot. I mean, if you beat him or if he beats you or whatever. Your direct shot to the IBF, if I'm not mistaken.
No,
so,
but isn't that the reward? The fact that it's an eliminator?
Nah.
I love it. Listen, we need the truth.
It's a combination. It's a balance. It's gonna be the money and the eliminator. Like I said, you know, we can go back to when Michael Hunter decided that he didn't want to fight for the eliminator. He wanted to go do a big deal with Triller.
Mm-hmm.
So that money was high, though. You know what I mean? I'm looking like, man, I'm a big Michael Hunter fan, first of all, and I'm like, man, I really want to see Michael Hunter fight Philip Hercovic. Like,
yeah.
Seriously. I did enjoy my time training with Philip Hercovic, but at the end of the day, I would love to see them two fight. And he was being offered some big money.
He called it little money. Whoa. He was on this show saying, you know, Eddie ain't offering enough money, and he then you know, he doubled down in a sense that he's like, look, I got a 4-fight deal now with Triller, so he felt like he did do the right decision.
Yeah, I mean, well, maybe it was little money compared to what Triller was giving him.
Yeah,
but for the type of money they was doing for the IBF, I'm like, yo, that's a lot of money. But yeah, he made more
you
with
said
Triller.
This in your own mind, or you had a conversation with him?
I was reading it. You know, I follow Michael Hunter on Twitter. I read all his articles.
No. But my question is, did you tell him, like, yo, bro, that's a lot of money. Maybe
nah,
you should take.
I mean,
oh, you ain't getting
man.
It.
I'm going to let him handle his. You know what I'm saying? I'm his friend and everything, but he's going to make all his decisions on his own. And like you said, he came out with a more lucrative deal with Triller. That's the numbers didn't lie about that. But still, as a fan of his, I definitely wanted to see him go at Phillip. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It would have been an incredible fight. But like I said, I went down to Miami, started training with Phillip Hercovic, and it rekindled me. You know, I didn't want to lose no more. I wanted to be a winner. I want to be world champion.
What happened in that time spent in Miami? Was it Miami? Because
yeah.
I know he's not with Pedro no more.
I trained when I was with him.
He was with
Miami,
Pedro.
He was with Pedro.
I hear he's with Buddy now, McGirt.
I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing, but that's a good mix. That's a real good fit,
yeah.
Actually, for him. But I thought him and Dr. Pedro did a great job as well. So, you know, he's doing what's best for him. But, yeah, I was down in Miami with him.
Nice. So what happened? Did you get off? Did you do better than expected? That you're like, man, you know, I got to stop playing. I'm actually on these guys' level if I just focus.
You know, I kind of went down there with the mindset to start over. You know, when I lost the Efe and Jacba fight, I left that fight feeling like I could have won. I could have won if I just, you know, fought harder. I could have won if I just, you know, didn't hold back while I was in that ring. You know, clearly mm-hmm. he did beat me. I was like, I could have won. That's how I left the ring. But I was actually around two up-and-coming amateur boxers, a guy named Price, and as well as a guy named Jamar. So it was us three in the camp with Philip Hergovic. So, you know, just being around them and just the passion and the excitement they had for their careers, you know, started rubbing off on me. You know what I mean? So that's really, you know, really what happened to it. I felt rekindled, you know. Mm-hmm. And then again, being there with Philip Hergovic as well, hardworking, dedicated, you know, he's like, yo, I'm in here giving my all 100%. Like, nobody at the top or trying to climb the top has a lack of motivation. They give everything they have. So it did nothing but rub off on me. I got my behind whipped out there, but you know, it only made me better, only made me stronger. And I came away with a ton of lessons learned. So I'm happy.
I got to ask, did he try to intimidate you when you walked in the gym? Because like, I interviewed him and he's like, you know, I don't know how we got on Joshua, but he's like, Joshua, he smiles too much. First thing I would tell him is stop smiling. And he's like this serious fucking guy, but he's funny, though.
He's
like,
very
his character,
funny, yeah.
His personality comes out of him, even if he's not trying. But, you know, he wants to be like the boogeyman. Like, he's really trying to portray that role. Or does it turn off in camp?
Nah, man, I wouldn't say he tries to intimidate you. He just tries to show you he's all about business the moment you walk in there.
Mm.
And he is all about business. Works very hard, very dedicated. And like I said, you know, they just got to offer more money to these guys, I feel like, especially for that spot. It's got to be a balance. Like I said, I felt like Michael Hunter was offered a lot. But again, more lucrative deal with Triller, can't be mad at that.
Well, speaking of being offered a lot, Ness, can you get that video?
Which one?
The video of him on the treadmill.
Oh, yes, yes.
He was showing me. Talk to us about the TikTok, man. Obviously, you know, back-to-back big wins. You got the deal. The video's up there for everybody to see. Can we get audio on that?
Hey, what's going on? They still act like I'm four figures.
No, man. This is six figures.
They still act like I'm five figures. Why are you calling me with that blow?
Six figures, Johnny. It's going to be seven. Real soon.
Six figures, baby. Money in the bank. Still. Steak. I didn't.
So what was the thought process behind this, man? What made you come out here and let the world know? I mean, is it that many calls you felt you needed a social media post to stop them all?
Well, you know, I have been getting those calls. You know what I mean? I'm going to be real. You know, you guys are something else, man. Y'all bring stuff out of me I don't want to put out there, but why not, right? So when I first beat Michael Coffey, I actually was offered the Philip Hergovic fight.
Oh, but they ain't offer you the same money.
And they offer me five
And since
figures.
You knew how much they offer you, like, fuck that. I'm really not taking
figures.
It.
Five figures.
60,000. I'm like, come on, man. Like,
wow.
Like, what are y'all talking about right here? You know what I mean? They're like, oh, but it's the number one. I'm like, I don't care about the number one spot. They put some more zeros behind that first number. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
I ain't said like
so
that.
So wait. But, so yeah. To be clear, the offer came immediately after the first
after
win.
After the first one.
Oh, shit. So was there a second offer now after the second win?
There was other guys that offered me after the first one. You know what I mean? I didn't even get the names. You know what I mean? I really didn't even care when they said, oh, it's this much, 75. But see, yeah, Al Haymon and them already had offered me
the rematch.
Six figures to sign a two-fight deal
okay.
with them. But I'm like, man, you know what? You know, I ain't rushing to sign nothing with nobody. You feel me? Cause
so wait. Damn, because I love your negotiation skills. So for the first fight, they tried to get you on a two-fight deal.
Already.
Damn, so they must have knew you might have beat him. Like, they probably already knew there was a possibility you can upset him, so they wanted to get you
no,
on that paper.
I had. Who are you talking about?
Polite.
No, they offered me after I won.
Okay.
So I had to beat him already.
Oh, you talking about PBC offer you a two-fight deal after you won?
After
oh,
I
so
won.
It's two more. Okay, I thought you meant two fights for the, you know, the two polite coffee fights.
Nah, they offered me a two-fight deal after that, but they told me how much. But still, I wasn't resting anything.
So you didn't take it?
Not at first. I said, you know, I'm relaxing a little bit. I'm just, you know, kind of thinking about some things. You feel me? You know what I mean?
But eventually you took it before the second fight?
I did take it before the second
fight. Damn, imagine imagine you to held out just a little bit more till you beat him twice.
Well, that's the thing. You know, originally I wasn't supposed to – I didn't know who I was going to fight.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I still got a two-fight deal with them. So they offered me a different deal because I do hold out.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I do just relax. You don't have to go fast when people want to rush you. So the rematch wasn't even a part of the two fights.
Oh, so you still got
come
two more
now.
With him. You
nice.
Still, you still
gonna
got,
be seven figures.
Let's
gonna
go.
Be seven figures. That's really quick. Got a couple super chats. We got our member Big Matthew. She said Johnny Rice knocks out Trevor Brown. Respect from the UK.
What do you think about Trevor Brown?
I appreciate that. You know what I mean? Trevor Brown is an undefeated champion. So, you know, I got to give him his respect. You know what I mean? And speaking of the UK, I believe he's got Daniel Dubois to worry about. So, you know.
Yeah, he does.
And then we have Gil. He said, ask Johnny if he found Shorty to have that baby with, crying, laughing face. He made me some bread on that second fight. God bless. Much success.
You know, I try my best to be as transparent as possible because that's the only way you can really live your life, you know. I'm doing my best to find a girl to have a baby with right now. You know what I'm saying? But you know me, it's like low-key I kind of gave up. It's like when I say gave up, meaning I'm going to stop putting forth my effort. You know, I even tried to get, you know, my ex-girl back. You feel me? That ain't work. I'm like, well, you know what? Damn.
Not even after
no
the
choice.
Deal?
Yeah. I'm
oh,
like,
man.
Girl, like, yo. We went through a lot.
Johnny, I ain't going to lie, though. You must have fucked that up bad, bro.
Man, you know,
you
I be messing things up. I realized that, like, if I was to go to hell, it would not be because of what I believe. It'll be because of the opportunities I let slip away. You know what I mean? That's what it'll be for.
That's some serious shit.
That'll be the reason. Like, yo, I gave you all this. It was this easy. You still messed it up. Get on over there in the fire, man. That's what you deserve to be. Nothing I believe, just literally opportunities slipping through my hands, and I'm the only one to blame.
You know, I need to know more. Why so many? Why? Because now I question, is it work ethic? Is it laziness? Like, why would you let opportunities slide? Like, dog, I'm from Jersey, moved to Florida for one year. I got this opportunity. I'm moving to Vegas. Like, I'm hungry. Why let them slip?
And when I say opportunities, I mean not just in the boxing ring. I mean like, let's say like situations can be so beautiful. And you still find a way to mess it up. But I realize I don't listen to myself enough. You know what I mean? You know, we all got that consciousness. You know, when you're young, they teach you got the good angel on one shoulder and the bad angel on the other shoulder, right? But it really is just, you know, you got to find that common ground for your next move. You know what I mean? And if you meditate, you'll really understand what you need to do next. But sometimes if you just be logical, like, okay, if I see, you know, this is an easier path, why would I take this other path when it's like all completely out of my way, completely against everything I'm doing, but somehow I still find myself doing that versus just being logical, not necessarily easy, just logical. Just making your next step just a logical, flowing move. I messed so much up.
I feel like as us guys, I just feel like sometimes you just want to see, like, do I have it in me? Can I do it?
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't be doing it. That's why I used to cheat. I'm like, do I still got it in me? Like, am I still playing?
How is he questioning does he have it? He's 25, by the way, Johnny.
Wow.
How could he be questioning?
Nah.
You young. You in your prime. What you worried about if you got it
or
you don't?
You know, I got started 12 years ago. So I'm like, you know, do I still have it? But I don't know. I feel like us guys is just like, if somebody tells us we can't have something or we shouldn't be doing something, like, shit, let me try it out. Let me see real quick.
I could agree with that. You know, I realize the type of guy I am, I'm going to have my cake and eat it too. I'm going to find my way to do that.
Okay.
Like someone said.
But that's probably why you ain't find your woman. God knows you're not ready, man.
But
he don't want you to keep breaking hearts.
You see, I ain't going to break no hearts. I'm going to be straight up from now on. I used to lie a lot.
I hear you. All of us.
I'm not doing that no more. I'm not lying no more.
I promise you.
I'm going to tell the truth.
Bro, I've been telling the truth since I had a divorce, man.
Oh, man.
I went through a divorce in like 2015, and I cut all the cheating out. And lying out, bro. I just believe karma is real since that divorce. Like, I believe all the phrases in life are true. I swear to God.
I'm still going to cheat. But it ain't cheating if I tell you first, right?
Yo.
It ain't cheating if I tell you first.
I guess it ain't.
It's going to be open.
So wait a minute. So is it because you're in Sin City? I mean, there are a lot of, like, everywhere you look, there's some eye candy. So is it that you think, you know, your flesh is weak because of where you live? Or it didn't matter if you was in Oklahoma?
I've always been this way. I'm just going to be honest about it from now on. Because I really feel like, you know, I really feel like females will definitely be okay if you're honest. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. But if you're honest about what you're doing, then it's like, hey, you know, I told you already. Why you mad? I don't understand why you mad at me. I told you I wasn't no good. When it comes, I said I'm a nice guy, not a good guy.
We ain't talking no more boxing anymore. So I got to ask now. So, I mean, do you just want to cheat, or are you looking to find a woman that allows you to have another woman and then have, both of them in the same household? Or are you just like a guy, you just want to have, like you said, your cake and eat it too. So you got your main lady, but every now and then, you know, you go have some appetizers.
A lot of women too, their mentality is, I just don't want to know about it.
That's
you
true.
Get what I'm saying?
I've heard that.
I've came across some older, you know what I mean?
How could they not know about it, though? These phones right now, it's just 2 months.
No, I don't know how it is with y'all. Yo, I will never in my life go through another phone, ever.
No, but that you don't have to go. They're going through yours.
No, but see, women have the same mentality. A lot of women, yo, they get hurt by the shit they see.
Nah, man, women are the snoopers, man.
Nah, I'm telling
you. Johnny's sitting there after 12 rounds of spawn, he's snoring. She's going through that shit. She holding his eyes open with toothpicks to get the facial recognition. No way, man. Women are snoopers.
Yo, let me tell you, if women want to lose weight, go through your guy's phone. You're going to be sick for a week. You ain't going to want to eat. You ain't going to want to do none of that shit. Yo, I'm telling you, a lot of women, I've heard that so many times, especially like being in Vegas, you come across women that, you know, they look 25 and they 40. You know what I'm saying? I don't go through phones.
He about to tell you he got a cougar. He's proud. He's got himself a little cougar, man.
I ain't saying that, but. you bogus for that.
He said ain't nothing wrong with that. Like,
you bogus for that, bro. But you know, a lot of women are open to it. They it's either I don't want to know about it, whatever the case may be. They don't want to go through the phone.
That's got to make camp more difficult, though, man. Having more than one woman, bro. I thought sex was a no-no.
I mean, you know, again, I'm gonna have my cake and eat it too. You know what I'm saying? So I might not go all the way in on the sex part, but, you know, I'm going to be kicking it. You know, we're going to be enjoying ourselves on some way or another. You know what I mean? But I guess, like I said, I just feel like the biggest thing I learned in life, I just got to have a purpose for what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so if I'm dating a girl, she needs to know, here's the purpose for why I'm dating you. I want to have a kid with you. Or the purpose I'm dating you is, you know, I want to have a kid with you too.
Damn, but Johnny, do you really want to have a child with a woman that you're not married to? And I'm not on, I am religious, but I'm not saying it from a religious standpoint. I'm just saying, like, I'm a dude, you know, we're all in the same boat. I got multiple baby mothers. That shit ain't cool, man.
I mean, like I said,
I'd rather live with my children. Like I live with my son now, and it's one of the greatest feelings in the world. You know, being away from your children, it ain't dope.
Right, right. True motivation. Definitely would love to have a son or daughter. But even if you are married, I realize sometimes when you are married, you still have an awful marriage.
Yes.
So sometimes whether you're married or not, it don't really matter. It's really about the communication.
Or the commitment. I guess we use the word marriage when we really just mean committed to that person.
But for me, it's really if I get along with you or not. Like I said, we all know the whole, you know, friends and lovers, or, you know, I'll never fall in love again unless he's my friend. You know what I mean? You got to be a friend first. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, you know, long as me and the girl, whoever it may be, long as we're friends, long as we get along, long as we don't argue all the time, if we do have a disagreement, we can communicate effectively. You know what I mean? And then we'll be good. Like, I definitely don't want to date a female that when she gets mad at me, she wants to, oh, you're not going to see your kid. You know,
yeah.
I've dealt with that.
I have not. I have not, luckily, but I have friends that have dealt with that.
Look, you know, for all your relationship advice, remember to call in 425-569-5241. This is your relationship advice with Nez, Ringwalk Danny,
yeah, right,
and Johnny Wright.
I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm out here fighting for love, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we're going to keep it right there because Danny has been living in Las Vegas for some time. And I think just yesterday we were talking, or he was bringing up how dating in Las Vegas is extremely difficult.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
So how long have you been in Vegas, and have you found it difficult to find someone else?
So I moved to Vegas in 2019 after I had lost to Makhmadov. I realized that, okay, I need to be in Las Vegas to train for boxing, period. I was having a lot of relationship issues at the time, but again, mainly because, you know, you got to be communicating effectively. Hey, I'm a liar. I'm going to tell you straight up. Don't ask me questions, okay? Things like that, or, you know, just not really, you know what I'm saying, do what I need to do in that aspect. But anyway, I have not really been dating since I've been here in Vegas. You know, I had a relationship. I tried to kind of keep going from Los Angeles. That didn't work out, mainly because of me. And, you know, I don't answer to people, you know what I mean? And, like, you know.
Give me detail, man.
Okay.
You don't answer. What does she want?
Basically, for me to answer to her, I guess. You know what I mean? And I can't do that.
But what does she want?
Oh, man. Well, you know, basically for me to be, like, you know, this super trustworthy guy. Like, basically not ever, you know, talk to other people.
Oh, you mean what all women want?
Yeah, I can't
that.
Do
normal
that.
Shit?
Yeah, that type of thing.
Be faithful?
Know? Yeah, that.
Okay.
She be faithful and all that. I'm like, man, look, I can't do that.
Damn.
I can't do that. But I was doing it. I'm like, okay, well, I didn't, like, fornicate with no other girls, but she didn't want me to even talk to no other girls. You feel
I mean, but how you talking to these, I mean, you know.
They kind of flirting with me, boosting my ego.
Okay,
you know what I mean? I love
go.
That. I love that a lot, but still, I didn't, like, fornicate with her. I'm like, everything's cool, but, you know.
But how would you feel if you went through her phone and she was having some flirtatious conversation?
I'm all about double standards for me.
Oh.
So
I could do it, but you can't do it.
Exactly. Yeah,
I think that's typical men, though.
Yeah,
that's typical men, though.
Nah, look, though, my ex, her uncle gave me some of the best advice I've ever got in my life. He said, it ain't never yours. It's just your turn.
Yeah.
That's
so crazy.
I have, you know, female legit friends, right? Yo, women is, I'm not saying that they cheat more, but
they are better at it.
They better cheaters than men.
Yeah.
True.
But people been saying that shit for years. I think men need to smarten up. Stop with these damn telephones and emails and, you know, clean your shit up.
Well,
because they out here, they clean.
Look, man, we need Johnny to get the big fights, the six-figure paydays, because he got women to keep up with.
No, man.
I ain't got no
soon
girl
to be
right
seven.
Now.
Soon to be seven. Yeah.
But you can't come with the five. You
nah,
got at least, you got to come, you know, the sixes, you know, maybe.
Johnny, man, since you a hornback, anybody in the industry, any trees in the industry you trying to chop? Like you get that, I don't know, let me see. You got a two-fight deal, you just beat Coffee. They're going to throw you in there, let's say, with Adam Kovnacki coming off two losses. He needs a comeback. They still believe in him. You beat him. What's the tree you chopping in the industry?
Industry, you mean like famous girls?
Yeah, but in boxing. Let's see if you got your eye on anybody in boxing.
You talking about a female?
Yeah.
Nah.
None? There's
nah.
a few.
Nah, what about the, women in the sport, though?
That work in
None,
the sport?
That work in the sport, I should say. Not fighters, but.
None?
Nah.
Damn. Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I be looking at the celebrity girls, too. Like Chloe Bailey. I could date her, maybe.
She got a man, but that don't really. You know.
It don't matter.
Yeah.
What your man got to do with me?
I don't care if girls are famous or not. I just want them to be, you know, beautiful.
Johnny,
and
how
natural?
How much you spend a month on OnlyFans?
I
know you spending like a rack a month, bro.
A lot of girls ask me to join the OnlyFans. I say I'm from the South. I got to see everything in person.
Yeah.
I can't do OnlyFans.
But then they gonna hit you with the fly me out.
I can do that.
No, hey, what you tell me
we're
earlier?
Going to be seven figures.
Hey,
what you tell me earlier? I ain't tell you nothing. What you? Nah, I'm
like, I'll definitely find out.
What?
Nah, he told me because I was saying how dating in Vegas is like terrible. I'm from Chicago, bro. I'm used to East Coast Chicago women. I'm used to women that hustle. Right? I don't care if you scamming. I don't care if you selling. Whatever. You got your own. I feel like women on the West Coast ain't like that for the most part, of course. But he was like, yo, what's up? Like, you ain't got no... I'm like, nah, man, I ain't got nothing. Every city we used to travel to, it'd be a different girl. This was years ago. And I used to be a big believer in flying them out. And the last time I flew a girl out, I was telling my guy, because I love black women, right? I flew a girl from back home. She was Mexican. My first Mexican, I was 24 at the time, 23 at the time. My first Mexican, she had got her body done. So I'm like, it's like a 2-for-1, right? Bro, she got too sloppy for me. I don't like that. Like, as far as like drinking and smoking.
Oh,
she was just moving too sloppy the first night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you
turn
can't.
Off.
Turn me off instantly. So the next day, I passed it to my man.
What?
And she folded.
You flew her out. Yeah. I ain't, man.
No, but I'm thinking, because I don't smoke. So I'm thinking, like, cool, they finna smoke, whatever. Next, but I ain't care. I want my girl. I changed her flight to a day earlier, sent her back to her baby daddy.
Whoa.
You know, but I don't fly, because I'm
Johnny,
like.
Johnny, you doing that? You flying them out and passing them off?
Nah, I ain't gonna pass them off. But I respect that, because, you know, y'all ain't really work out. You know what I mean? I ain't here to be greedy.
Mm-hmm.
If things don't work out, like I said, you got to be free-flowing, you know. And if my mans can benefit and, you know, they have a good time, man, I'm cool with it.
Yo, because, look, I was so turned off, bro, that it was like, damn, I still got to deal with you another 2.5 days. So my mans was in town, you know, had a room. I'm like, yo, they got a nice pool, come, whatever. And he smoked, she smoked. I'm like.
It makes sense to you.
It makes sense. They finna smoke. We finna go to the room and smoke. Cool, man. They was going like 4 hours. I ain't cut.
So you really ain't pass off. He kind of just walked off with her.
But I'm saying, like, when we going to
the
room.
The truth comes out.
It was a better match. It's all good.
No, but you get what I'm saying? It was just like, you know, it is what it is. But after that, I'm like, man, I don't know. I'm just done flying them out. I'd rather fly to you. Because that way, look, I could go. Hypothetically speaking, I could go to Houston, and if I got a few Johns in Houston, then that's
look at this guy. You guys are terrible, man. Come on.
Everybody flying them out.
Bro, Spirit is like $50 round trip. Chill out.
And if you ain't flying them out, then they flying to Dubai, so you might as well.
Where? So, Johnny, man, have they given you, like, at least a tentative month, you know, because... we interviewed Luke Santamaria. We've been following his career for a long time as well. He's with Javier Caputillo, and he's like notoriously a standby PBC fighter, you know. His Devin Alexander, standby. This fight on Saturday, standby. The one before Devin was standby. The Michael Fox, well, actually, Paul Crow, they gave him like 6 weeks, but the Michael Fox fight was standby, so... how do you deal with that, and is it going to be difficult?
Well, I'm doing my best to live a lifestyle of boxing. Like I said, when the first time I fought Michael Coffey, whether I fought him or not, I was going to be training with Michael Hunter, helping him get ready for his thriller debut. So I'm trying to live a lifestyle. Now, I don't have a fight schedule yet. All I can think about is, okay, listen to the commentators.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to try to throw a pressure fighter in at me. They might not think I can handle pressure.
Man, so I might be spot on with Adam Kovnacki.
He's a pressure fighter. There's other ones, too.
You think you'll get that Andy Ruiz return?
He's a calculated boxer that puts a lot of pressure. I don't know.
But you've spent time with Manny Robles. Have you already sparred Andy?
I have sparred Andy. I helped him get ready for Anthony Joshua.
Mm.
The first or the second one?
First one.
Mm.
So... And he's an incredible fighter. Like I said, you know, all I can do is just learn and grow.
Mm-hmm.
Learn and grow, and do what I know, and not hold back. And that's how a lot of these guys beat me. I was holding back, you know what I mean, or not trusting myself, which would result in me holding back or not preparing myself enough mentally and physically.
So that's the biggest focus I have right now. Staying inspired, staying around guys that are going to motivate me and uplift me. You know what I mean? And I can't, you know, I wouldn't be justified if I didn't say, you know, Devin Haney right now is a huge part of my inspiration.
Really?
100%. Like he.
How so?
He trains at Bones Adams Boxing Gym. And usually it's just locked down. You can't get in. But, you know, his people let me come in and just sit there and watch him. Because we actually have one coach in common, Rodney Chrysler, you mm-hmm. know, kind of helps a little bit with his conditioning and pad work. So I get to sit there and watch how hard he works, how hard he works. You never see him, like, tired. You never see him with a lack of motivation. You never see him have a bad day. And I'm like, man, I do never. It's because he's that driven. And it rubs off on you, just the mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't even say nothing to him. I just watch him train his ass off. Excuse the French. Watch him.
You definitely could curse.
Working his behind off, like, and it's just like, it ain't easy for him either. He at the top.
We was just saying that. We had Mickey Bear a couple days ago.
Ain't nothing easy about being up there, and he shows you that. So it's like, for me, I'm like, how the heck? I'm down here. I got to somehow work 3-4 times as hard, and it just kind of keeps you going. Like, if you want that, it ain't handed to him either. Mm-hmm. You got to go get it.
I was going to say, is it even added motivation, the fact that he is younger, and you see him pulling up in that Corvette or the Rolls Royce?
Man, dude, Robert Maybach. He pulled up in the Maybach.
Yeah, he just bought the Maybach. You know what I'm saying? Is that, like, added motivation? Like, damn, I got, like, 10 years on him, man. You know what I'm saying? But, like you said, you see him working hard. You see him putting the work in the gym. Does that, not just him necessarily, but do things like that motivate you? Because you just said 6 soon to be 7 figures. Like, that's...
It inspires me.
That's what you know...
It's a little deeper than motivation. It inspires me. You know,
man,
it,
you need to tell him that, my, man. He needs to
I
know.
Mean, he, I believe he knows that. You know what I mean? It's deeper than motivation. You know what I mean? It's inspirational, and it makes me. I say I can't have any excuses.
Mm-hmm.
It takes away all your excuses when you see a guy go in there and go at it like the way he does. You know what I mean? Don't cut any corners. Then goes to another training facility. I think he had phase one. Go there. Afterwards, like, nothing he's doing is handed to him.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't never think, oh, he got it made. Nah, he ain't got it made. He make it himself.
Yeah.
That's what it inspires.
Do you think it hurts fighters who are making that kind of money? Because a lot of fighters, they don't post, like, when they in the gym, right? So I'll see a lot on social media, fighters like Devin, where people, you know, he has on the nice jewelry, the nice vehicles. They don't see him put in the work, though.
Right, they don't see that.
They don't see that. So they're like, oh, he taking this for granted. Do you think it kind of hurts fighters that, you know, from a fan perspective, they don't get to see the work that they put in?
So what do you mean, hurt him?
Right, in the sense that, like, a lot of fans think of it as a negative look. Like, oh, he trying to be Floyd. He being flashy. He getting this money now. He's not working. When in reality, they don't see the work that's being put in. Do you think that fighters need to be more open with their work in the gym? Like, you know, allow.
Nah, fans? Man. Like you said, I think it was him or Milton that just said, like, let them think what they want. Because then they'll be surprised in the ring.
Yeah, let them think what they want, I guess. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's pretty dope. Let them think what they want. Me, I kind of care about what people think a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yo, I love you so much.
He's
more.
So open. He's so honest.
Yeah, it's hard not to.
He is so honest.
It's hard not to enjoy your honesty, which brings us to our member chat here. Brandon in Cincinnati says, Jonathan Rice has officially made my pound for pound list.
Man.
Keep knocking them out in the ring and knocking them down in the sack. In the sack, champ.
Yeah, right.
Sincerely, Jazz Club Poppy.
Yeah, I ain't got nobody for the sacks right now. I'm chilling. I'm just letting it all come to me.
Do you?
You know.
Do you follow?
And I think it'll come even. It'll come, you know, tenfold if you keep winning.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a successful man. Every woman wants a successful man, someone that they can feel secure with financially, you know, someone that they can show off to their friends and their mother, you know, their family. They want to be proud to say, look, Danny is my husband or my boyfriend. He's got a show in Las Vegas. He interviews all these important people. Like, they want – Johnny Rice is my man. He just got a knockout on PBC, on Fox. Did you see it? So, like,
Fox.
They want success, man. So just keep doing what you're doing.
That's
everything's going
to
come.
That's what I decided. Just going to focus on myself, focus on, you know, becoming a world champion. And that's exactly what I'm doing, and living life with a purpose. So I'm not doing anything unless there's a real purpose to it. And I'm doing best to be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
To be very grateful. Just grateful, grateful, grateful.
Obviously, just got in there New Year's Day. If it were up to you, when would you like to get back in the ring, champ?
As soon as possible, man. Get them checks cashing.
I do got to get them checks cashed. Well, you know, like I said, I'm trying my best to drop this weight as fast as possible. I do keep my ears open and my eyes wide, you know. So I see Tyson Fury is about to fight April 23rd against Dillon White. So I'm like, okay, well, what if I had to have fight, you know what I mean, which I don't, obviously. It's like, well, I need to try to be ready by that date, you know,
mm-hmm.
just kind of, because you got to play mind games.
Yes,
so
yes, yes.
You have to, you know, when he is at the top of the division, they say he's about to make a $4 million bonus, whoever wins.
Mm.
I ain't $4 million bonus if you win, him or Dillon White. I'm like,
yeah,
what?
I think that was their compromise on Dillon being upset with the 80-20 split.
Yeah.
Right, right. But it's
because,
like,
he was,
man,
entitled to 45% as the interim champion.
Yeah, I understand that, how he didn't get that.
Well, you know, Fury has a good team. They spent the money to go to the convention and petition to have that percentage lowered. You know, so if you don't show up, it's like court, man. If you don't
right.
come to defend yourself, they're going to run with the prosecutor saying so. You got to be there, man.
So I'm trying to play mind games with myself. You know, I don't know when my fight is good. Like I said, I was out the ring for 11 months. But during that time, I kept building, kept surrounding myself with motivated people. Like I said, whether it's amateurs or pros. And that's all I can do every day is get better and be ready to win. Because I'm not here to lose no more. I don't care who they put me in the ring with. I'm not going to lose. I'm
mm-hmm.
going to win.
What fight is currently scheduled that has you really excited to watch?
I would have to say the rematch with, obviously, Anthony Joshua and Usyk, as well as, you know, Tyson Fury versus Dillon White, you know. I'm more excited about the Dillon White fight because, you know, this is his first title shot. He's talked about it. He's raved about it, and now he got his first title shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more excited to see what he's going to do.
Are you expecting, I don't know, some sort of surprise? I mean, because people are kind of counting him out because they seen what a 40-year-old Povetkin did to him.
True. But, hey, you know, you can count anybody out. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I'm excited to see what Dillon White is going to do with his
mm-hmm.
first title shot. You know what
I
mean?
Is that a guy you would love to fight?
No, I don't like fighting. I do it for the money. I do it for the love.
A fight with Dillon White means some money.
That's definitely some money. But, and like I said, no matter who I'm in the ring with, I'm coming to win. So that's that. But like I said, no, I don't like fighting.
So Big Matthew was telling me that the Fury White card also will have Parker, Joyce, and Anderson on the card.
Mm.
So it's going to be all heavyweights.
That's incredible.
I don't know who Parker's going to fight. Is he going to fight Joyce?
I heard he's trying to fight Andy Ruiz again.
Mm.
That's what I heard.
But this would be – this is not – he will never get that fight on this card. Andy Ruiz with PBC. This is pretty much a Frank Warren top rank.
Matchroom.
They worked together before. And,
I know.
You know, to get the Wilder versus Tyson Fury. So,
but that was a big
commercial
fight.
That was a unified – you know, championship, obviously AJ is an attraction.
No. He's talking about when Fury and Wilder worked together, but that was different. You know, there was money in that fight. So you do it for the money, so you have no nemesis out there. There's nobody, like, you got a grudge.
If people talk trash to me, I'm gonna talk trash back. You know, I ain't gonna ever go start nothing with nobody. Like I said, I do it for the money, and I do it for the love. I do it for the money and the love. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna spend that. I can't help it. But I hate losing. So I have to come win.
Well, Mr. Rice, I got a few questions from our most loyal listeners. First one up, James Valdez in San Antonio. He says, if you could rematch any of your losses, who would it be and why that particular opponent?
I don't really have no thought process to rematch anybody, to be honest with you.
Just
I
want
to keep moving forward and keep making a ton of more money. Definitely. You know, like I said, I'm coming to win, and I hate losing. And this is, you know, you're not going to see me holding back or doubting myself or not trusting myself or, you know, second-guessing myself, which we all do in life a lot. I'm not doing that no more. I don't do that at all. No more second-guessing. This is who I am. Better, better, better is all I'm focused on. And honesty, of course, no matter if you like it or not.
I don't know if you can see yourself there, but it's probably a side view. But every time you're talking to me and I'm looking at the monitor, you look like Antonio Tarver with that suit on. Look at him right there. Come on.
Oh, my goodness.
You look like Antonio Tarver calling them Showtime fights a couple years back, man. We got the best dad ever in Baltimore who says, who are your favorite fighters to watch? And if Wilder was to return, who would you want him to fight?
Favorite fighters to watch, obviously Devin Haney, definitely. I do love watching Michael Hunter as well. Roy Jones Jr. as well as Vanderhoof.
Bro, you keep bringing up Mike, man. What the fuck happened?
I heard some things that happened.
He was not supposed to lose that fight.
I heard he didn't lose. What are you talking about? It was a draw. It was a freaking draw, man.
In the eyes of the public, my man lost, and that draw was a robbery.
Okay. So let's look at it as a draw. But I heard, you know, that he actually had some food poisoning. You know, he ain't going to say this because, you know, he don't make excuses. He come to fight, and he handles his business. But I heard, you know, as his buddy, he had some food poisoning, some salmon. See? Now, I ain't eat no salmon before my fight when I heard that. That's how you know I'm a little superstitious at times. So I ate some sea bass, but I didn't eat any salmon before my fight in Miami.
So you really believed him?
Yeah. So it was some salmon. He was throwing the salmon up all day one day. You know what I mean? And then they did say he hurt his hand.
Oh, more than one excuse.
But he ain't going to ever say it. You see what I'm saying?
Oh,
I'm
they said he hurt his
hand. What we talked about,
okay,
or his people talked to me about, you know what I mean? But he ain't ever going to tell nobody this because he lives and dies.
Who was that? Forrest?
Happened.
Forrest did that to him? No, Forrest on some upset mind and shit. You seen his fight with Big Bang?
Of course.
Amazing.
I'm watching everybody.
Amazing.
I was at work watching everybody.
Right, I'm telling you, man, guys like Forrest and yourself have made me change my opinion on the phrase, you know, journeyman, and then it gives.
But it's a journey. It's a journey.
It is. But it's a negative term. Like, it's perceived negatively, just like gatekeeper.
Right.
When gatekeeper really means, like, yo, you beat this guy, you get a world title shot. Like,
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, Sean Porter was before retirement and without his championship title, a gatekeeper because he's such a name in his sport, such a difficult fight that if you beat this welterweight, another champion will give you a shot because now you're worthy. You're an elite level fighter. But the terms, you know, throughout the years, fighters are taking these as derogatory terms. You know, they think they're offensive. But they also hold that less than feeling. Like, I thought you were less than polite. You know, Floyd did a great job of selling the O, you know. Thurman needs to now destroy Barrios because he's always been the type to say, I'm not afraid to let it go. Now he's obviously has a loss. Let's see how he bounces back.
Right.
But yeah, man, I wish we were more like the UFC where a loss doesn't matter. And I'm forced now to feel that way, like with Jerry Forrest continuing to just look better and better. You with your two back-to-back wins, for me, unfortunately, I consider them upsets because that was my guy. But, you know, George Aries, he just knocked off the undefeated Cassius Chaney, another one of my fucking guys from Connecticut.
Yeah.
Like, and let me tell you, George Aries is Dominican. I'm Dominican. I never thought he'd do that. I didn't even back him like Mexican. He's Mexican. Just because he's Dominican. No, I'm like, this dude's too short. Dominican Mike Tyson, my ass. And look, egg on my face.
They both undefeated, though.
Yeah.
They were.
Gave that ode to poor Chaney, man. Tough sport, man.
I got a couple of people asking, and obviously we know, but they're asking if you quit your job yet.
No.
Well, you know, that job for me was the job I had to work when I first moved to Las Vegas. You see what I'm saying?
What do you do?
I work at a gentleman's club.
Oh.
But I just check IDs, so I'm not in the back. They were smart enough to keep me out the back. The back is where all the people are, you know,
oh my
partying,
God.
Dancing.
Yo, how
that.
Does this man work at a strip club?
They don't keep me in the back.
Bruh, you don't need front. To be in the you don't need to be in the back. They come out there to smoke.
Nah,
we all know
nah,
how strip clubs
our
work.
Our gentleman's club is the biggest one in the world, literally.
Oh, okay.
Oh, US Sapphire.
Huge. Yeah, Sapphire's gentleman's club.
I thought you was gonna say TNT. That's
nah.
not the biggest one?
Hell,
nah.
No, that one's small.
So I'm in the hallway. We got a real nice hallway. So you kind of come in the hallway, it's like it's just quiet. The music is still playing, but it's not even playing loud.
No wonder women don't believe it. I don't believe
yeah,
it. How you going to tell
see,
me you work at a strip
females.
Club and you don't see females?
Yeah, I don't. Then you go down the hallway, you get to the
I've
front
been,
desk,
yeah.
and you go into the big old room where all the dance and all that going on. I'm not in there.
You tell you, they got a bomb-ass restaurant attached to the strip
Everything.
Club. It's called Cantina El Dorado, bro. They got some lobster tacos out this world.
Oh, yes.
You
can't eat it right
You know,
now.
Let me tell you real quick, just because you brought up Sapphire. I went one time. I was actually with a fighter, and I'm chilling. I'm not myself. I'm just quiet. I'm in the corner. They're like, yo, what's up? We going to get you a lap dance. They paid for the lap dance. What kind of girl you want? Black girl. Bro, they brought me a Hawaiian, talking about this the closest thing we got.
There was no black women in there?
That many. It's like four or five. That's it.
Damn.
And I'm talking about, bro, this club is so huge. It's crazy. You would think they'd have an abundance. But
mm-hmm.
Nah.
Wow.
But, you know, it's gratitude. You know, I told them, I mean, like I said, they hired me. I ain't have no job. I ain't had no way to make no money. Gambling wasn't going that good. You know, we tried that for a little bit, playing some blackjack. I was going to gamble my way to the top, right? That didn't work. But anyway, so, you know, my first full-time job, where you had to support yourself. I'm like, man, this is some bull. I'm like, I ain't never had to do this before. 30-something years old.
Fuck, real life kicked in.
Real life, real. My hours was from 2 a.m. to 10 a.m. Those are
oh.
my hours, yo. So I'm like, man, but.
It works with the training, though,
I
right?
I worked throughout the whole time. I even worked when there was that 25% during the pandemic. I didn't get unemployment.
Mm.
I messed that up. So anyway, I gave him my 2 weeks notice.
He ain't get the bonuses.
I gave him a 2 weeks notice. You know what I mean? Like I said, it was a great job. Like I said, I was able to pay my bills and support myself. They were supportive. Let me come in late. I was coming like an hour late every night. So they was like, okay, well, you know, you're training. So, you know, you get a job where they really care about you as a person, even though you're not down there making minimum wage, at least they care. You feel me? At least my bills are being paid. Long story short, I gave them a 2 weeks notice. Then they was like, well, can you just work weekends for a little bit? And I said, okay, I work weekends for just a little bit, you know. But after Super Bowl weekend, then I'm just full training only. So right now I only work Friday and Saturday.
Nice, man.
Because it's
got to be an amazing feeling, though, to be able to quit.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I would say I'm happy that I grew. I took the opportunity in boxing to grow,
mm-hmm.
to change. But like I said, not only you, but all of Las Vegas thought I was a 10-1 underdog.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey.
Did you bet a little bit on yourself?
I did not.
Damn.
I did not.
Even nobody in your family?
Nah, I did not.
Not even in the rematch?
I did not.
You tripping.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
What?
I should have. I know, but it's just, I just go in there just pure minded, pure
no,
hearted.
I hear you, man.
Just to get in there and win.
Wow, that is admirable.
You coming from work, right?
Yeah, I came from work.
Yeah, shout out to Johnny
Wright.
Remind me of me, shit.
Yeah.
From work, you know what I mean? So I got off at, what, 7? You know, I got there. I was supposed to be there at 10, but I didn't get this about 11:30. But, you know, it is what it is. This is two nights on the weekends,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm out. But I would prefer to be training. Like, if I didn't go to work, I would have been training. That's the type of guy I am. I'm going to hit the gym 8:30, 9:30, 10. You know, got to stay in the gym at all times. So that's another reason why I'm going to take it to an even higher level. Because there'll be nothing but training, nonstop focus.
And you know what? Not just that, but you'll actually be able to get that proper rest that your body needs. You know, that recovery, you know what I'm saying? You'll be able to get that. You'll have the time for that.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy and I'm grateful. Like I said, the PBC, I'm grateful to Al Heyman. I literally can't quit my job, but I went and did the 2-week notice out of respect. And,
absolutely,
and,
man.
You know what
God, I need you to bring Jerry Forrest in, man. I interviewed him.
I don't know Jerry Forrest.
But you're going to want to bring him in because he said no other heavyweight trains harder than him. He said these heavyweights out here, they faking it. You know, they rely on their height or their power. No one doesn't train as hard as him. Same thing he did to Zhang. He would have done the Big Baby Miller, but Big Baby Miller, you know, pop, mm-hmm. you know. But, yeah, you know, do you believe that he is a hard worker based off that Zhang fight because he got up them three times? Or
like I said, you can't argue with, you can't argue with results, and you can't mm-hmm. argue with, you know, like I said, I'm logical. You can't argue what you saw. I mean, we all saw that fight. I mean, it was incredible. You know what I mean? And like I said, we all know as well that the better shape you're in, the faster you recover from, you know, something like
that. Do you feel he won that fight?
Like I said, I don't.
Or deserved the nod?
I mean, he, which with Zhang or whatever, I feel like it was a draw. He got knocked down, right?
Three times.
Yeah, so it was a good call for the draw. But still, you know, it shows, yeah, he was in great shape, got a lot of heart. And I ain't
so,
very hard.
No,
I got to put you on the back burner because now that I know that you work at a strip club, the truth is we've been trying to implement because we got a studio now. So it's like we need Ring Card Girl Wednesdays.
Ring Card Girl. I don't know any of the entertainers. They keep me out of trouble. They don't listen. Last time I was
Johnny
working in the
really
back,
sticking to this.
Listen,
man.
Last
no,
time
he's
I was working
truthful.
In the back,
he's an honest guy.
Last time I worked in the back, it's not even the entertainers. Sometimes the guests. There was some girl trying to give me a lap dance all over me, jumping on. Beautiful girl, too. Mm-hmm. And they hit me on the radio like, yo,
dang,
you
got
to get back to
the
front. Man. They won't even let me stand back there long.
That's crazy. You should have told them that's why you quit. Got me right on them damn ladies. I can't even
and,
look.
Yeah, and they just all over me because, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. The girls don't really bother. The entertainers don't really bother me.
I got to ask now, since the PVC deal, because – we've been talking about this the last couple of days.
Let's get it.
Have you ever spoken to Al?
Nah, I ain't never spoke to Al.
Yo, that's crazy.
Nah, but he just signed, so it's still too soon. It's still too soon. But it's one of our questions. You know,
I heard his voice, though. I had a meeting with Sean Porter Daddy. That's what I call him, Sean Porter Daddy, you know what I'm saying, because of Adrian Broner.
Yeah.
But
So Ken plugged you.
Yeah, he put Al Haymon on the phone. I didn't talk to him, but he was talking.
Just yesterday, Andre Berta was in your seat, right? And I'm telling her, and he's like, yo, I think I'm the one of the few people that has this type of relationship with Al. I'm like, nah, bro. Ken talks to Al every day.
Yeah, he talks to him all the time.
Every day.
He called him right back, all that good
stuff. Every day. I'm telling you, Berta was tight, but so is Ken. Somehow Ken is like his man.
He talked to him all the time. So I did hear.
That's a blessing, man. That's beautiful to hear that he's the one that, you know, put a good word in for you, man, and made the phone call. That's amazing, man. More people need to help more people, man.
The real deal, you know what I mean?
He just let us in the gym, what was it, 2 days ago? He even let us record sparring. You going to let us record some sparring?
I don't see why not.
Oh, look at this guy.
And you know what? Let me tell you something. Johnny Rice. He don't lie.
Yeah.
He's an honest man.
He's an honest guy.
I'm just going to be honest, tell the truth.
Johnny, so I know this, you know, you just started getting these nice paydays, but do you have any, like, gold buys? Like, anything that is, like, when the time is right, you know, and I'm not breaking my bank, I want this, or, you know, I want to buy a house. Or,
yeah, I'm definitely trying to buy a house, but...
fucking market is crazy right now.
Yeah, so I am turning back to hustling. I am turning back to gambling. Y'all know roulette.
No, don't do that.
I can't help it. Look, I gotta be that.
Bro, you just got some
gambling, women, children. You know what I'm saying? I gotta stick to it. No drugs, no alcohol though.
What? No.
I'm trying my best not to overeat. So,
bro, what's the most you ever lost?
Well, I don't really lose.
Let me tell you, man, because I'm gonna let you think about it. I lost $4,000 on roulette.
No,
I was done.
Yeah, I ain't never
Never gambled again.
But let's say if you put it all together, then you probably can lose a lot. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But like at one time.
No, I mean at one time. Like I go to the casino and I lost that $4,000. That's it.
Nah.
I stopped cold turkey.
I literally started with $100 and I try my best to turn that into $10,000.
Okay, but how much have you lost in one sitting?
Well, the most I probably lost is maybe about $200 or $300.
Oh wow, you disciplined.
Yeah, I leave.
You're disciplined.
Actually, my debit card has a withdrawal limit.
Okay.
I can't withdraw over $300.
Okay.
So what's the most you've won?
Most I've won is 1,500.
Okay, so you ain't turned that into 10,000. Not yet.
I'm trying my best to.
My biggest win was 2,500 in Dominican Republic of all places. Like, imagine being on vacation and win $2,500.
That's incredible.
That's amazing.
I hope you blew it off.
Yo, I've told you the story about the day I turned 21 was the day of Canelo Triple G, the first one.
Okay.
So at that time, I was living on the north side of town, so I go to Aliante. Put $100 on the draw. It was plus $2,500.
Wow.
Nice.
How much you win?
I put $2,500.
Okay.
I put like $400 on the first draw for Wilder Fury.
That's brilliant.
And I was telling people 2 months early. Because
how much you win for that?
It was plus $3,700. So what's the math on that?
So
I guess it's 100.
34, 15.
But 400 was my bet. It's like plus 37. It was a lot. It was a lot,
like,
bro. Fifth. Plus 3,700 because you got to figure every 100 on plus 37 is 370.
15.
So 370 times 4. Do 370 times 4. No, not 3,700. 370 times 4, yeah.
Goodness crazy.
Yeah, 1,500, 480, 1,480.
No, if it's plus 3,700, then
mm-hmm.
and you put 400?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, so yeah,
because for every 100, ain't don't you give 370?
No, 3,700.
Oh damn,
for
yeah.
every 100.
Yeah, well, I won. Everybody knows I showed my slip, and I was telling people
so
14, like 2 months in advance. I just felt no, definitely not no 14,000.
So then it definitely wasn't plus 3,700.
It was definitely plus 3,700.
If
it was definitely plus
the plus,
I ain't getting no 14,000.
Look,
though.
Let me tell you, the plus on any sports bet, if it's plus,
maybe it was 370. No, that's too low
that's
for
too
the
low,
draw.
That's too low.
We got to go back and check the odds. I definitely bet 400, and the point is, I just felt that boxing politics would take over, and they did.
Johnny,
you know?
You watch UFC?
Mm-mm.
Thank God.
No,
man,
the,
this guy is my new favorite fighter.
I was going to ask.
Mike Polite, don't get mad.
So you don't know who John Jones is?
Of course I know who John Jones
okay.
is. He's a superstar. All
right. So we got a super chat. We got a super chat. Brandon Maurice said, Johnny Rice makes John Jones look like Kirk Franklin.
No, because
no
he
way.
Just said he don't do drugs.
Yeah.
I don't watch UFC, and I know John Jones
yeah.
loves that nose candy, man. Nah,
yeah, don't
drugs. Put my man Johnny in that category.
No, it's. That's a super chat. Nah, but that's funny. Yeah, that was my biggest bet. It's crazy because I was telling people to bet the Canelo Triple G, the first one to draw, months out. I didn't bet it till the day of. I'm telling people to bet it months out. My supervisor put 500, and it was plus 4,000. Walked away with 20 racks.
Mm.
20
now, that's
racks.
The money. That's see, the you money. Gambling in the wrong sport because you know this sport. Like, why are you on the tables when you know boxing? You know who's going to win and who's not going to win.
I don't know that.
What?
How am I know
you
that?
Got a better understanding than the casual fan.
I mean, I could
a
say I
super
have
a, better understanding.
I don't know. Because I feel like the fans...
Who's winning tonight? Thurman or Barrios?
I'm going to be real with you, right? So I did look up the odds. I think Barrios is plus 120.
He was 160 about
a day
ago.
Like that, right?
Okay.
Thurman's talking a lot of trash. He's talking so much trash.
He's been talking for 30
trash.
Months.
So, much, so I'm like, usually when a guy talks that much trash, I'm like, I'm wondering why you're talking that much trash. You know what I mean? Like, so that would sway me to go bet on Barrios, right?
Mm.
But I'm like, well, I know Thurman's really, really good. So I'm like, and he can back it up. So I'm
so
like,
you
I'm
hedged
not going to bet it all.
Oh, I thought you would have hedged.
He's talking, what was that mean?
Like also make a bet on Thurman, but in a parlay, so it's
okay.
cheaper than the Barrios fight. In case Thurman wins, you still make up the money you lost on Barrios.
Right, nah.
So like, if you do Thurman, who's the favorite with
Leo,
because that's what I did. Thurman, Leo. What was this Hawk super chatted the other day, and we did it on my bookie for people to see what the odds was, and you end up with like a plus 190 for all four A-side.
Oh, yeah.
So it would have been A-side Thurman, A-side
Clarissa
Leo,
and Eubank.
A-side Clarissa, A-side Eubank, the plus 190. So 100 gets you 190 plus your 100 back. And those guys ain't going to lose. Clarissa ain't about to lose in
a
tune-up. I mean, it could happen. Like, obviously, AJ lost in the Andy fight, 5 weeks of replacement, but like that – girl, I don't know that she's Andy. She do look butch. Though.
I told
she looks very tough.
I don't know. I feel like that's the only like for sure win. Like
what? Clarissa's?
I mean, a lot of people feel Barrios could win. A lot of people feel
Leo could lose.
Could lose to You know,
but that's only because they think he's still knocked out. Like, oh, after a knockout like that, you don't come back the same as what, you know, the social media streets are saying.
Right. They ain't see Evander Holyfield then.
Yeah.
Yo, it was crazy. Barrios was heavier than Thurman.
Very, very, very bigger than
Thurman.
Yeah,
he's taller too, right?
He's taller, yeah. But he's the one moving up. He's the one moving up in where a lot of people, the public, felt that maybe Thurman being out for 30 months, maybe he's having weight issues.
But I'll tell you one thing. Let me see if I can screen share this. Someone sent me Thurman's, like, last five weigh-ins, all of the pictures, and they're like, bro, Thurman is on. He's never been this cut. So I don't know. I'm going to try and screen
share.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, AJ's pretty cut, and AJ...
Let me get a screen share, Kian, please. So this is Danny and Thurman. And look, no visible six-pack right here for Thurman, right? Danny definitely looks more cut here in this weigh-in than him. All right, and then this is yesterday with Barrios. Look at the difference in Thurman. You know, so he might be focused. He might be dialed in. He might be tired of us talking all the shit that we talk. Look at him here again. I mean, he's rippity-rip right here. Hmm. And let's just get a little more zoom. Look at that. He is rip. Barrios, you know, he might have, like, not, you know, did as much as he normally does because he had that 7 pounds extra this time around, because look at his stomach.
Yeah, but, you know, it's also harder for Mexicans to get that definition.
Look at Keith here. Right, and this one is, I don't even know what fight, what it says, Lopez, the one everybody thinks, you know, the one round all of a sudden made him a loser. But look at that. He's not ripped. He wasn't focused. I think the focus and the hunger is back, and it shows physically that he put in the work. You could cut it, Ken, because we're all in my messages.
Yeah, that's why I'm not going to bet against him, you know what I mean? But just the trash talk would make me want to bet against him, you know what I mean? But I'm going to just watch the fight and enjoy it like a fan.
They said, somebody said, JD said the only reason he looks like that is because he shaved his stomach hair off to chill out.
Whatever. Who said that, JD?
Yeah, in the chat.
Let me see what JD is that, from Texas?
I don't know.
But, Jonathan, man, I want to thank you, obviously, for coming in, especially after work of a third
after
shift.
Work.
You know, you are a trooper. We appreciate you, man. You know, I want nothing but success for you, man, because obviously this sport is built on that. This is a blue-collar sport. You know, you given the Rocky story, you know. People counted you out, and here you are with two. Would you call these your biggest wins?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
But
congrats.
I got to get them bigger.
Yeah, for sure.
It can't be enough. You know what I mean? I got to get bigger. So, yeah.
Social media.
Got to get bigger.
Give out that social media so anybody who isn't following you can do so. And I'll go ahead and screen share.
Forever Johnny Rice on Instagram. And like I said, you know, you got to be forever who you are. You know what I mean? You got to just be you at the end of the day and love yourself and all that good stuff. You know what I mean? Don't hide yourself. Be yourself. Forever Johnny Rice.
If you're a single lady and you're into boxing and you don't mind him having another single lady who's into boxing, DM him.
Yeah, man, DM me. I'll be DMing girls. I'll be trying. they don't write me back.
You know, you got to get that belt. Once you put the belt on your avatar.
I'm going to be honest, he just needs the blue check mark.
I'll apply for it. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Girls see that blue check mark.
And it's over. Now, PBC will probably get you that, man. Holla at Sylvia, man. Tell Sam get to work, man.
But like I said, I'm going to just let everything flow. Like I said, I got off work. Y'all was like 7:30. I'm like the a.m., like in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't wake up early.
What it is, you know, he was on the East Coast. So right now, 9 a.m. is the time he starts on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So
I'm just trying to keep
it.
The same flow. People already knew we was a morning show. But I actually got a few more questions from the public. We got Steven in the U.K. says, hi, Johnny. Thanks for coming on the show. As you said, Hergovich is supposedly the new boogeyman. Who do you truly rate in the heavyweight division as a fighter? Shout out to you for showing up in a suit and tie. That's how you do an interview. You need to get that. I like double standards only for me on a shirt. So he wants you to get that phrase on a shirt.
I might have to. It is what it is. But, I'm watching. I really do like Joe Joyce right now. He's the real boogeyman, you know what I'm saying, in my honest opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see, you know, like I said, I was very surprised when they made him fight Daniel Dubois the first time. Two undefeated heavyweights like that. So we're going to see when Joe Joyce fights for his world title. That's what most I'm excited for right now.
And we got Brandon in Houston says, yo, Johnny, it's Brandon, the remote producer of the show. What did you think of Mr. PBC's intro? You heard it earlier that you had on it.
I loved it. I loved it. I'm happy I made
it.
I
had you on it. Sorry.
I'm happy. I loved it. You know, it's the truth, you know. Hey, I can quit my job now, baby. That's the truth, you know. Like I said, I'm just a little bit, you know, running into my gratitude right now. But after the Super Bowl, it's a wrap. I'm all boxing, all in, coming to win. Heavyweight champion of the world. That's so y'all follow my journey because I'm going to be truthful and transparent.
Brandon Maurice back again. He says, from one player to another, you've officially made me a fan, champ.
My man.
With that being said, what do you prefer? Classy 9-to-5 ladies or the IG baddie, city girl type?
Ooh, and like I said, as long as it's natural. I like natural women.
You know, oh, you don't like no enhanced women?
I can do the fake boobs, but I do like the real booties.
So if they get like a BBL.
I don't get what's the difference. Like, I've had both. Like, a real natural, soft, fat ass.
Oh, damn.
But then I've also been with women that have injections or, you like you said, BBL. That shit, I actually don't mind the ones that's rock hard. I've been to them strippers in New York City. You know, what? Go to Sin City, them damn things. I don't mind them rock hard ones, man.
They don't even sound
interesting. Yeah, I like
man.
Them. They when they firm like that. Like a basketball.
I'm gonna go with, you know, even if it's
like
a soft. Even if it's a small booty, I just like natural. You know what I'm saying? But I like the big booty ladies.
Well, all right, Johnny, man, we do appreciate you, man. This is a fantastic interview. Thank you for your time. We definitely look forward to getting you back, especially since you're in the city. So the minute you get anything announced, come through the studio, hit us up so you can come through. We appreciate you. Any super chats we left behind? Because I'm gonna go ahead and end it right here so we can get another photo op.
Worked out great.
One second. Where to go? It just wasn't
I'll
on
refresh,
the topic.
I'll refresh.
It was a minute ago. I don't know.
All right. It looks like... Yeah, no, we did it. Oh, we got the one from Brandon on the Super Chat. And Mr. PBC says refresh. He must have put something. Let's check. Come on. Don't be holding my man. He ain't get to sleep yet.
Right.
All right. We got Mr. PBC. Shout out to you. I made money on you twice with the Polite Coffees fans. They can't fuck with that basmistic rice or basmati rice.
Oh, man.
Well, basmati rice. Okay. I never ate no basmati rice. What the fuck is that?
It's
you know?
They serve it with, like, if you go to, like, a kebab spot, like, in New York, like, that's the rice that, yeah.
Kebab?
I love the kebab
spot.
I've done some halal spots. Yeah. Never know kebab spot, but. All right. Well, that is everything. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Keenan, you can end it. We appreciate you for holding us down today. George, you as well. I want to thank Jeremiah Milton for coming through, and also shout out Johnny Rice. Thank everybody that tuned in. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up button. Future, present, past helps with the visibility of this show to put this show in front of eyes of other boxing fans who haven't met the new superstar, Johnny Rice, man. Every guy's favorite fighter out here,
man.
Knocking him down in the ring, knocking him down in the sack, man. We all going to be living vicariously through you now, man.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Social media?
Mine's is NessGTO. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at NessGTO, and obviously follow The Boxing Voice on all forms of social media. Ringwalk Danny.
Ringwalk Danny on all social media.
All right. Later.
Johnny, that was amazing, man.
Thank y'all for having
me.
Man, you are so bomb.
I really love your personality, man. Thank you so much for being you.
The way
you that
you
are.
Yeah. In life.
God showed up like he was facing 20 to life.